I gotta do the sound check. Check, check, check. One, check, check. Sibilance, sibilance. Check, check, check. Two, sibilance, sibilance.
Live at the DealsInTheD.com studios, which will soon contain in them a very special guest, Hank Winchester.
Yeah, if you can figure out how to get down here.
Mark gave him such specific instructions that, what was Hank's response?
He asked if it was a to catch a predator setup, because it was very specific, and I told him when he gets here, I'm just going to go, what are you doing here? And just hit him with all his emails and texts.
Don't try that stuff on Help Me Hank.
Help me, Hank.
We've been wanting Hank to come on for a long time. We just didn't have the extra microphone. And now we do. And Brandon is taking off on his trip tonight at midnight. So it all works out pretty well. As long as Brandon gets back okay. I'm a little concerned about that little affair.
Nah, he'll be fine.
I expect you're right. So anyway, let's get the non-Hank stuff out of the way first. Not sure where to start, but actually I know where I have to start. Okay, I mentioned we're in the DealsInTheD.com studios, so we've got some new copy from Zot because it is March, and what are our friends in Holly doing? It's Zot Ford. Well, first of all, they believe everyone should have choices. You should choose to listen to some broke-down morning show on terrestrial radio, or you can enjoy to choose to listen to Drew and Mike podcast.
Yeah! Broke-down morning show. I love it.
I like the description. And enjoy life.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
Hell no. Another example is right now, only at Zot Ford, you can get a 24-month lease on a new 17 Ford Fusion or Ford Escape for $121 a month. Hurry down to Zot Ford at I-75 and exit 98, just past Jesus, and take advantage of this sweet offer today. We're having a conversation about how to use Jesus in a TV commercial, because the Jesus sign is so close to Zot Ford. I mean, they've been telling people forever, just look at the Jesus sign. It's right past it.
Jesus Christ.
But you got to be careful, because you don't want to offend.
Well, they should just dress somebody up like Jesus. People love it when they do that, right?
Jesus Christ. Guys.
I think they kind of do. But the sign, you know, is so iconic. It really is.
Yeah.
And as he told us.
Oh, I saw another church that kind of plagiarized that sign in Royal Oak at the corner of 11 Mile. Or no, yeah, no, it was 11 and Campbell. And it said, are you on the right road? I was like, that's religious sign plagiarism.
I agree. I think they should be sued immediately. Let's work on that. Let's get our friends over at PJ's place.
Yeah. Gold Star Law.
Gold Star Law, absolutely.
All right. DealsInTheD.com studio.
When you buy or lease your next new or used vehicle from Zot Ford, you will get $500 in free travel from DealsInTheD VIP travel website. I thought that was over in February. Wait.
It was so successful. It's continuing.
Yes, that is $500 in free hotel stays only for the month of February. Oh. It's only for the month of February.
Wait, isn't this the new read?
This is the new copy. It is. Yeah, I think he changed this and left this.
No, no, he rewrites them all from scratch.
Just taking a wild guess here. If you can manage to get there in February, I can promise you the $500 in free travel. If you can get in your time machine and get back there, I know Steven will manage to figure
God
it out.
Damn it!
But probably should not have included that in the copy. We'll take the blame on that one.
Damn it!
As much as we appreciate being compared to a staff of beautiful women in a plastic surgeon's office, we assume Zot Ford staff would likely lose that hot off. What? I can't believe Steven's saying this.
God.
Therefore, Zot Ford would like to offer something we know you can't get elsewhere. While supplies last, get brand new 16 Ford Focuses for almost 50% off the sticker price. That's almost 10 grand off a Focus that only stickered for $20,000 to begin with. Serve Zot Ford sick deals and massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com, and I think he's sandbagging on the staff, too.
Very much.
They have a bigger staff, too. Greg doesn't have that many people.
Yeah.
So the hotness per capita.
I'm not dried up either.
capita.
The per capita hot
washed out.
It's a big showroom, too. Big. So what's the hotness per square footage?
There's a lot of hotness in that building. It is a big building. It's a much bigger building. It's an interesting concept. Jay's really pushing it. I think he's onto something. If you're working more than 40 hours a week, not getting overtime, well, many of you are. Maybe breaking the law. Even if you're a salary employee, you need to get in touch with Gold Star Law. If you lost a promotion, missed out on a raise because of your age, race, or gender, Gold Star Law. Injured on the job, sexually harassed, Gold Star Law. Being paid unfairly, discriminated against, injured on the job, harassed, Gold Star Law, 248-851-GOLD, or click goldstarlaw.com. Do it. The call is free. The meeting with the attorney is free. You pay nothing until they win for you, so you have nothing to lose. Completely confidential. They don't talk to your employer. They file more of these cases in Michigan than all their firms combined. And you do the other stuff, too. If you've got injury issues or slip and fall, as the category is called, DUI, drug possession, any other crime, felony or misdemeanor, the team at Gold Star Law has your back. These guys are good. Don't face a prosecutor alone or with a public defender. Call Gold Star Law, 248-851-GOLD.
It's not against the law to have sex.
No, it's not. But it's against the law if you take a terrible spill down the stairs like that guy did who went to Gold Star a couple years ago, got himself a nice cell. There it is. There it is again.
It's almost a total klutz. He falls like all the time.
It's terrible. And for those who think we're pandering by playing the audio that so often, it's just a very successful case, and they're proud of it. We're proud of them, too. A couple people in the news today who I wanted to get right on, I know I got an email,
hot,
very important email to read, too, is one Miss Urethra Franklin. And she made it on morning TV. I didn't see this, but Mark swears it's worth a spin, and I believe you.
There's something going on here.
The other one is Mariah Carey. The Lionel Richie Mariah Carey tour has been postponed.
It has?
Yes.
Clearly because of Lionel, right?
They're saying it's Lionel's knee.
What? Oh, really?
I so doubt it.
Oh, he's joking.
I so doubt. I know. No, I thought you were serious for a second there. Lionel supposedly had some knee surgery and recovery's taking longer than expected, so they're putting it off a few months. I think this thing will be canceled in the end. I heard ticket sales were terrible.
Well, there's the real reason it's postponed.
They were doing 2-for-1s and 4-for-2s and all kinds of things, try to stir up ticket sales, and not happening.
It's hurting me very badly.
Did you see the Michael Jackson tribute at the Fox?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the commercials for it.
What if we can get that guy? Should we try and get that guy on tomorrow?
Yeah. Is it that one guy we talked to, that Carl O'Reilly?
Oh, man.
The I'm worst. In pain all the time.
He was so bad.
Hello.
The commercial. Have you guys seen the commercial?
Yeah, the TV commercial.
It looks
looks so bad it could be good.
Yeah, I think it could be amusing to someone like us. I'm not sure. I guess the Jackson fans will probably get off on it. I mean, if you bought tickets for that, you want to like it, so maybe you will. You'll force yourself to like it.
I kind of want to go now.
I wouldn't mind going. I'll consider
my
it.
My shoulder.
Let me see if I can find the TV commercial.
It's running quite a bit.
So, yeah.
And it's late, too, so apparently it's not sold out.
It's called MJ Live.
Yeah. What's this guy's name? Michael Johnson or something? So they're using
Michael
MJ?
Jordan.
Could be.
I still...
Can you put that on the list?
I still remember when Michael Jackson died. We were doing mornings, so took a nap and woke up and grabbed my phone, and the first text said, MJ's dead!
It was Michael Jordan.
I thought it was
for a second.
Jordan. I don't know why. That was just the first thing that popped in my head.
That was in a mind-boggling few days when he died. That was incredibly memorable. I'll never forget it. First of all, finding out it was propofol and how weird that was.
You mean my milk?
Yes.
Call it milk.
And then the whole Conrad Murray thing, this 24-hour-a-day doctor who's basically providing him drugs that no one in their right mind would be using as a sleeping pill.
Not some guy's mad when I asked Jay to pop me up, so now I have to do a crazy hand signal.
Why? Because it suggests that there's something going on with marijuana?
No, he just doesn't like that I say it. He suggests that.
I was glad somebody brought it up,
crazy
actually.
Hand signal.
I wonder how many people don't know what that means to pot something up. I think we've probably said it a million times, but there's probably some that didn't get it, so now you know what it means. It's a potentiometer that Jay is turning up, which is essentially the volume.
Yeah, but long fancy words make us sound important.
Exactly.
which we then just shortened to pot.
It's the most basic technology Jay engages in.
He can't always see me. He's not always looking up. I'm not always looking up.
No, it's a fair thing to say. I don't think you should make hand signals. Just tell him to pot it up. Everyone really knows.
But he sent an email in, and I replied to Jay and him and told Jay to pot that guy down.
Amen.
I don't know if he thought I was being serious or not. Okay, here you go. Here's the MJ tribute show ad. Or it should be. Nice audio.
Great audio.
It says it's playing.
There's a few people I wouldn't mind potting down myself.
It's a good concept.
Yeah, we'll go through a few of those.
Snapping sounds like Michael.
For sure. Woo! Yeah.
That guy's totally white.
Hee hee.
That was me.
This is the moment. This is it. You want to show them talent like you've never seen before.
Was that MJ?
Yes, and the guy doesn't look anything like it.
The sound is not that bad.
No, that
sounds a little female. It sounds a little girly.
That's Jackson talk. That's real Jackson audio.
Oh, that's real. Oh, no wonder.
Yeah.
I would love it if they included that in the commercial. Are you sure that's Jackson?
I'm pretty sure that sounded just like
I need to hear that again. I heard something that sounded a little off, but I thought it sounded good.
Now,
maybe it was Jackson.
What's even better is you can actually see the show on YouTube.
The whole show?
Yeah, they are. Here's another ad. This is the show. Oh, my God. This guy's touching his crotch.
I saw that in the commercial.
That does not sound like him.
No, no, it's off. It's way off. Not terrible.
Oh, when he does the younger version, it's even worse.
I heard Eddie Van Halen makes a guest appearance on Beat It.
You got the moonwalk down. He doesn't look like him.
Gotta have the moonwalk. Let me see.
Yeah, let me find a closer shot. Look at him here, where he's got his shirt off. Remember when Jackson used to have his shirt open? Never. You know what he does, though? He's got, like, the curly hair that he puts over his eyes, so it's a lot harder to
tell. Little tendril.
It was ridiculous.
It's really getting ridiculous.
Wouldn't that be, I'm just thinking that would be the worst career move in the history of music if Eddie Van Halen made a guest appearance at the MJ show.
What if he was duped into it because he really thought it was Jackson? Didn't know Jackson was dead.
Well, it'd be equally bad either way. If you thought Jackson was alive, it wouldn't be as bad, I guess.
Wow, there's a
except it'd show how off Eddie is.
Man, well, he's busy. Oh, they have the whole concert on here. Well, that's exciting. I wonder if do you think they do stage banter?
I don't know. You know, I was imagining this MJ guy auditioning the dancers with those toaster things.
Oh, yeah. And this is that was cool.
I love that. I want those. Think we can get that at the studio? We could do that every day before the show.
Dig a secondary basement.
That'd be so cool. We take a little part of the roof out. We could pop up to the second floor without having to go up the stairs.
Thank God somebody filmed the show on their phone so we can watch it. That is one small theater.
He has the humping down.
Well, that's the first thing you work on with Jackson is the humping. Did you see where he's performing at in Vegas?
No, where?
Guess which what hotel do you think would have MJ live?
Okay, wait, I got to think about this. MJ live. Is it one of those little rooms at the MGM?
No, the Stratosphere.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
E. It says a lot.
Not one of the big.
It says a lot. It says it all, actually. Can't get the MGM or the Mirage or Mandalay.
Let's find some reviews for this show.
Oh, good idea.
Oh, wow, you know
what? Got a lot of requests for bad reviews, by the way.
Oh, here's Yelp reviews. It's got 4 stars.
Well, remember, these are Michael Jackson fans.
This guy's name is Jalis Franca is the performer.
When you make a decision as dumb as buying a ticket to something like this, I think you want to defend it.
Well, what if you won the ticket? What if you were comped because you had a great night of the Stratosphere?
I go back to opportunity cost.
Oh, I think it would be very entertaining, even how bad it was.
Sadly, the show is not sold out at the Fox.
Well, the Fox, how unsold is it? Is it the green seats?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of seating still left.
Jay, you've been very mean.
That's not too bad, though. I mean, it's sold more than I would have thought. I would have thought there'd be a lot more green.
I'd rather go see Dave Wakeling, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Not even close for me, but.
Here's a 1-star review.
This show's the equivalent of a high school cover band on their first rehearsal. Unbelievably weak production, especially considering that this was Las Vegas. Ooh. The choreography was stilted and awkward looking.
And while the lead singer did a fair job of mimicking MJ's voice, he was often pitchy and off-key.
Pitchy.
This person must watch a lot of American Idol. And for the songs themselves, almost all of them were missing key background parts, making the entire show seem like amateur hour. I expected a whole lot more for a Vegas show. It's a safe show to skip right over, even if you're a Jackson fan. Bruce V, Iowa, Canada.
Do you think Joe Jackson makes a few bucks off each show?
Well, you know what? Considering that one commercial had his music on it,
yeah,
it had to be approved.
So the to use his music. There's no question the Jackson Estate. Blanket's making a few bucks off every show.
Blanket.
Actually, Blanket, Paris, and what's the other one? Michael? No.
Paris, Prince. Prince Michael. Yeah. There's two Prince Michaels. That's Blanket's real name. Prince Michael the second.
The three of them are making, I'd say, at least 50 bucks a show.
50 bucks.
Joe makes 10. Catherine makes 5.
Sorry, I just did not like this show. I felt like the impersonator did an excellent job in imitating MJ dancing. But where was the big Las Vegas production? There was only a guitarist, keyboard, and a drummer with no good backup singing. Sounds like a backup singer is a big
problem. Ooh, it sounds like an issue. I would address that.
The performance sounded like karaoke. Come on, Rio, make it a big production. Oh, so it was at the Rio.
Ooh, Rio dropped it.
In 2013.
I mean, going from Rio to Stratosphere says a lot, if you know Vegas at all.
Oh.
Although maybe they wanted to catch people on their way up to the roller coaster.
Yeah.
They thought that the walk-by might remind people.
Because they forgot Jackson died, like Eddie.
Possibly.
And they wanted to go see him. You know that little voice in your head that says, don't go down that alley or drink that last drink? I was feeling that when booking for this show, but I thought, hey, it's Michael's music. I can do that. Boy, was I wrong.
I knew that was coming.
I love that they ask a question and answer in the review. Anytime that you're seeing an impersonator, you have to remind yourself that they will never be as good as the original. Good, maybe even mediocre, and most of the times just god-awful.
There's some good ones out there.
This falls in the category of sheer fuckery. Almost comical and a bit sad. If you're playing
fuckery.
Michael Jackson, you have to have the chops to not only sing but dance as well. I felt that I was at a happy hour karaoke. This dude's voice annoyed the heck out of me.
Ooh.
He also forgot the lyrics most of the time.
What? Unforgivable for an impersonator.
It gets better. The microphone even went out at sometimes.
Oh, boy.
Now I really want to see this show. I found myself completely ignoring him and focusing my attention on the dancers and the musician. That itself tells you it wasn't worth the price.
Wait, he's ignoring the Michael Jackson character?
Yeah. Watching everybody else. As much as I was
Tito was very good.
As much as I was glad it was over, it was only an hour. Really?
Wow.
I hated that switching from song to song was so fast. It didn't even give enough time to let the moment simmer, so to speak. Oh, that's kind of a specific critique.
Oh, boy.
It was like a game of how quickly I could get through the song, shaking my head. The audience seemed amused. Some people really get into it. So what do I know? The place is circular with seats plus a bar that charges ridiculous amounts for their drinks. Meh.
You know, what's weird is when I am looking for some of these horrible performances by old bands that are still out there.
Yeah.
I always see people at the shows who are getting off way too much.
Well, there. Yeah.
And I just can't help thinking, how entertainment starved are you that you're just so getting off at Men Without Hats in 2016. I mean, honestly, how often do you get out of the house? Is that a special occasion?
Maybe. Yeah,
we've been out months, and Josh got tickets to see Men Without Hats. Remember the safety dance?
Oh, yeah, let's go.
It's a great song. I love that.
They must just be.
Are there any tickets left?
Hammered.
They look like serious fans. But to see somebody really getting into a Michael Jackson impersonator, oh, boy.
Well, here's another one star. Only a couple dancers dance like professional dancers. The wigs and dressing up like black people was a tiny bit offensive.
Oh, they were white?
I guess.
Ooh.
I would have rather he lip-synced the whole song, because he didn't sound like the songs I remembered.
You know, why couldn't he just lip-sync? Well, it probably costs more to play the actual music, so...
Here's another one. You might get eye cancer from watching this show. It's terrible. I was waiting for it to end so I could go home and watch some real Michael Jackson on YouTube. The MJ impersonator keeps cutting off the character for the ladies. I hated the show.
What happened?
The MJ impersonator keeps getting out of character. So I should say out of character for the ladies. I hated the
for
show.
The ladies.
So this guy.
He's sitting on chicks
yeah,
while
he's on stage
between songs and stuff.
Hey, I'm not really Michael. Here's my hotel room.
Hey, what you doing after the show, baby?
All right, next song.
That's really funny if that happened. I'd love to hear the audio of that.
Good show, but it's not right when people sitting next to you are hustling for money. What?
Hmm?
They want to upgrade him, so they're trying to get him to upgrade during the show. The lines are long. The show was boring. Glad the tickets were comped. My husband liked the show. However, I would not go back because of the show. What? Your husband liked it? One star. What a cheap show!
It sounds cheap.
The Michael Jackson impersonator looked like a leprechaun. Hate to say this, But it is good the real MJ is dead, so he never has to watch this shit show. If you're 4'9" and dressed like Michael Jackson, nobody's going to take you serious. Wear some high heels, bro.
Oh, man.
Bro. $85 VIP seats.
What? Wait, who buys VIP seats to an impersonator show? That's ridiculous.
Thalia G from Austell, Georgia.
That's preposterous. They even offer...
Yeah.
VIP tickets to an impersonator show. Oh, my God. We got to go backstage and talk to the impersonator for 5 minutes. It was great.
That's ridiculous.
We got pictures, too.
That's ridiculous.
This guy spent 70 bucks, so he must have been in cheaper seats with 70.
That's ridiculous.
VIP seats. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh.
All
some right. of the VIP stuff going on in the concert world, by the way, is frightening. What people are getting away with. You get a lithograph.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A picture, and I mean, just the BS they throw in so they can charge $1,500.
Everything you could buy there.
Yeah, for a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's ridiculous. They should do something about that.
Thank you. This guy's complaint of the show was that the music was too loud. Bring earplugs.
Oh, boy. Which reminds me of people used to call, or people used to email and say, we need to turn up the podcast.
Huh?
Well, he worked it on the line, and his headphones weren't real tight, I guess.
Oh.
So he wanted us to turn it up.
Oh. Did we?
I remember people saying we need to turn up Riff.
Riff, yeah.
Yeah. I'm in Jackson. Doesn't come in very well. Could you guys turn it up?
It'd be cool if you could. Just crank up the output.
You should kind of dig the idea. Okay, Urethra. Let's not forget Urethra.
Yeah, last we saw her was Evrod, what's his name from Channel 4? Because I don't even remember. But apparently he's in her good graces.
He calls her Miss Franklin then.
Well, remember Hank.
We should ask Hank about this.
Yeah, who's coming in about an hour or less than an hour.
Hank has experience with Miss Franklin.
He must be bumped for Evrod. So he did this story saying that she was...
Carmen was the super tight.
Yeah.
And Diana Lewis.
Yeah, but apparently this guy's taken over. So he did the story about the comeback.
He might have escorted her somewhere.
It's possible.
Harry Harrison used to escort Urethra to stuff from Channel 50. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was chatter that maybe they were dating.
Oh, please.
Well, I knew better.
Oh, please.
Harry was kind of a man about town.
So Aretha is allegedly back in the recording studio recording this big new album. But if you listen to what she says, I'm starting to feel like this is a scam and there's really no album coming.
Well, why is she promoting this record? Is it done?
No.
They haven't even started recording yet. Here's the interview.
This is weird.
I'm not going to say it, Jay. Just do it. Just do it. It is?
Of this year, along with releasing a new album in September. Well, this morning I got a chance to go in studio with her as she records that album to give you a sneak peek of what we can expect on the new record, including a new voice with a very familiar name.
Who do you think the new voice with a familiar name might be?
The new voice is not Aretha, right? Somebody else?
Nope. New voice, familiar name.
Oh, it's her niece.
It's her granddaughter. See what I mean? This whole thing, I think, is a scam.
Okay, you got to hit those notes on the head, though, on Sister Girl.
This is She's producing her own album. Aretha Franklin is in a local recording studio starting work on her upcoming album.
Sister Girl, hit those notes on the head.
They just
today
played that
it's
cut.
The background singers laying down vocals on What's Aretha's on? Take on the Marvin Gaye classic.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Okay, now sing those same parts, falsetta.
What's going on?
Falsetta. Tell us about this upcoming album. Do we have a
falsetta?
Title yet?
Is that the female version of falsetto?
Exactly. The same joke that was used down here about a half hour ago.
The upcoming album. We don't have the title yet.
Oh, okay.
We're starting it in April, and that is Stevie's coming in. He's going to bring some new music for me, productions, and he's going to write, he's going to produce.
It's a big
then,
scam.
Pause
Jamie
for 1 second.
Foxx is coming in.
Stevie writing on this means it's going to be something like the John Kerry song. He's going to put that much effort into it.
Aretha Franklin, Aretha Franklin.
We need Kerry to carry us back to the world we were headed for. Isn't that what the Lawrence
and carry
to carry us
back to the future we're headed for? In,
that's right.
Whatever.
Yeah, he made notes. He made it up at that moment.
And he had Barack Obama. Barack Obama.
Which we could reprise
he's just
that.
Singing scales to
Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin's granddaughter.
All right.
Next.
So. Apparently Stevie's coming. I don't know if anybody's told Stevie Wonder that he's supposed to have songs and production
he's
in a
just
month.
Finding out today.
He's going to write. He's going to produce.
No, he's not.
And then and Jamie Foxx is coming
no,
in.
No, he's not either.
When's Jamie coming?
Someone else coming in to sing on the album has an all too familiar name.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy
Victory Franklin.
Victory.
Baby boy has walked where angels tried.
17-year-old Victory
is that a real name,
granddaughter
Victory?
And will be featured on the
a stripper name or something, is it?
It's her stage name. Just carried over. She's only 17.
Oh, okay. I was joking.
It could be your dancer name. Maybe she's trying it out.
Yeah, as a professional dancer, not a stripper, of course. Obviously.
17-year-old Victory is Aretha's granddaughter and will be featured on the still-untitled album
she tried out
singing
for
the classic Mary, album? Did You Know?
Yeah, she went in disguise.
She went in disguise.
Like Tori Spelling. And she got the gig. She didn't even know it was her granddaughter.
Well, this is the best part. She even gets to be interviewed on Channel 4.
Wow.
Do you think it's a scam?
Yeah, a little bit.
Untitled album singing the classic Mary, Did You Know?
He's my one of my guest artists.
Do you ever get nervous?
Guest artist.
Every performance.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no time to be nervous today as Grandma Aretha is coaching her along the way.
Mary, did you know? Go straight into it.
Okay.
Hit on the head.
Why don't you just sing it?
Watch your timing.
What is the best piece of advice your grandmother has given you when it comes to the recording industry, the music industry?
I mean,
taking care of her voice.
Yeah.
Don't people tell you what to do? Tell them
kind
to do
explain.
It.
Explain what she taught you about.
You want to ask? Well, you couldn't hear that.
You make a new record.
While she's talking, you just hear Aretha in the background go, taking care of her voice.
You're lucky you're a girl. I would smack your ass clear across this room.
She answers the question.
That's what I thought.
The back of the room.
Can you pay back up? I want to hear Aretha's input.
A little back. Here we go.
Recording industry, the music industry.
I mean,
taking care of her voice.
Yeah.
Kind of explain what she taught you about taking care of your voice.
It was a trade secret.
Yeah,
she can't tell you that.
When you
are we interviewing you, Aretha, or interviewing what's her name? Victory.
It's like Trump with Melania.
Her grandmother is the queen of soul. This is Victory's first time in a recording studio.
Melania.
With the
Aretha
guiding her music career, it certainly won't be her last.
Well, how do you know? Was Aretha put some more dough up for her?
Exactly.
Oh, she's good, right? Along with including her on her next album, Aretha is also looking for a record deal for Victory. And I think she knows a few people who might be able to give her one. None other than Clive Davis. Don't you think?
Wow. She got one on her own.
What an awesome opportunity for her granddaughter.
Hey.
Yeah.
What a pain in the ass for the people that Aretha shops it to.
Things like that, you know, working the soundboard and the interactions. It's really cool.
It was fun just being in the recording studio and getting to see that. They like to keep the temperature warm, drank ginger ale, and ate Chinese food.
You mean Aretha likes to keep the temperature warm?
Drink and eat lots of Chinese food.
And then Stevie and Jamie Foxx on her new album.
Fake!
And a few others unnamed as of yet. Those are secrets for now, too.
Yeah, those
are people that people don't know they're on the record yet.
Absolutely.
She couldn't think of the names while he was interviewing her.
Oh, that's too bad. Missed a chance there.
Oh, man.
Just shot for a nice plug. Stevie's coming in. Yeah, Stevie's going to bust his ass on this.
There's one comment underneath the story. That's it, just one. And it's just, I've never been a fan of Aretha or her music, but I wish her granddaughter well. Why?
Was that an important comment to make?
From Moon Fairy?
I mean, are there a lot of people not wishing her granddaughter well?
So
she felt the need to say that?
I guess. Well, I
think it's assumed that we all wish her granddaughter well.
I like that she takes a swipe at Aretha, though.
That's true.
Never been a fan of her or her music.
But that's weird. She doesn't wish Aretha well, but she wishes the granddaughter well.
Aretha's done. She's had her success.
Well, tell Aretha.
I'm not going to tell her. You tell her.
I'm going to tell her.
Better tell Jamie Foxx he's supposed to bring some music in, too.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the reason of his split with Katie Holmes has been...
Oh, I saw something in the tabloids about that. Scientology.
Yeah, because she is so freaked out by the Scientologist, he can't deal with it.
What happened?
He's 49, she's 38. She's too paranoid about the Church of Scientology. Jamie's upset with her constant paranoia. He feels like if he can't protect Katie, then she'll never feel safe. So at some point, he just had to give up.
I can't imagine what that's like, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's completely flipped out.
But if you love someone, or if you like someone, and you're trying to keep them safe.
But if you're Jamie Foxx, and you can't get her to calm down about Scientology, she's sweating out the daughter, all these people trying to influence the daughter probably. The daughter finding out she's a suppressive person. Her own father calls her SP.
Yeah, that's what this source says. Katie doesn't want to be away from Surrey for more than a day.
Well, she knows 17 days and it's over. That's what happened to her. She was kidnapped for 17 days. Next thing you know, she's a Scientologist married to Tom Cruise. calling people SPs.
There's another story I came across about this guy that pretended he was Tom Cruise in Thailand. And...
It looked like him.
What happened was somebody, and it was posted on Reddit, so somebody went to this, small, crappy restaurant, and this guy puts pictures on his wall of fame, and one said, Tom Cruise, and it clearly wasn't Tom Cruise, but it's a picture of the guy with the owner and the food, so he got a free meal, because this guy in Thailand thought he was Tom Cruise.
People are so starstruck, it's just amazing how often people pull this off, and they never look like the people. But to pick Tom Cruise is pretty ballsy. Well, it's better to pick somebody who's been out of the public eye for a while.
Yeah, but
they'll still kiss your ass.
They have a high Q rating. They have to know who you are. But this guy is probably 6'2". Here, you want to see the picture of him?
Oh, boy.
You are fake news.
Let's see. Prankster Dupes Restaurant. Does that look like Tom Cruise?
Oh, my God. Wait, he looks like... He looks like a combination of a couple other stars. He looks a little like the guy from Friends, Joey.
Yeah.
And he looks a little like Matt. He's in, in a million movies. Matt.
Name a movie.
The one where he's stealing pharmaceuticals. He's knocking off drugstores. Drugstore Cowboy. Matt. To Die For.
Dylan?
Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
Matt Dillon and Joey Boofoot and had a kid.
Ugh. Yeah, I could see it.
Did you sound like this, Mark?
If Joey carried Matt's daughter, or Matt's son.
In his butt?
In his butt. That's what he would come out looking like.
I just thought that was funny.
Wow, he so does not look like Tom Cruise,
but he got
though.
He got a free meal at this dumpy ass restaurant.
I wonder how much other stuff he got. You want me to read this email?
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Have a funny story that you appreciate. I'll try not to dreamweaver it. My girlfriend was on vacation. She got home last Thursday, came over to hang out, ended up spending the night. Hot. I was fighting a head cold, requested we put off home from vacation activity until the following night. Well, what a head cold that must have been.
He probably beat off like an hour before she got home.
Yeah. He couldn't wait. He was so excited about her coming back. Couldn't wait another hour.
This is his last chance to beat off before she got home.
And he blew it. He blew the whole thing. I just don't feel good. You know, you don't have to fake to us. I mean, you can fake to her. You don't tell us. I know it seems like TMI, but it'll come into play shortly. So we got up the next day, like we have 100 times before. Split time in the bathroom, get dressed, heading off to work. Friday was carrying on like any other day till mid-morning. That's when I got a lengthy text from my girlfriend. Here's the text in its entirety. Hope she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Well, he sent it.
I'm not sure how to say this without you thinking. Dad, I'm really mad. But I want you to think about how it feels when I get home from not seeing you for almost a week and you don't want to have sex, which is fine. But then the next morning while I'm changing next to you, I pull my shirt over my head and see one of the first things you're looking at are thumbnails of porn.
She was thinking the same thing we were.
It's not the looking at porn part that bothers me. Everybody does it. But could you not do that when I'm right next to you? So after a few seconds of, what the fuck is she talking about? I figured it out. Being a huge fan of the show, I download it first thing every morning. I never usually scroll down to see Jay's handiwork. That morning was different. The lead picture was of Trump with bye-bye. I thought maybe a golden shower video got released during the taping of the show, so I scrolled down. If you don't remember, that was the night Skin was on to talk about the Anatomy Awards. The following pics were several nude scenes that were discussed on the show. That is the porn that my girlfriend saw me looking at. Ha ha ha. So for a few hours that morning, my girlfriend thought I was a total creep. A creep that as soon as his feet hit the ground in the morning, he's rifling through porn on his phone. I'm as creepy as the next guy, but not that creepy.
The second his feet hit the ground.
I forwarded her a link to your site and quickly diffused the situation. Sorry that went a little long, but I thought you'd appreciate it. Okay, second out of nine.
That's a great story.
Keep up the great work. I plan to donate as soon as I have some wiggle room financially. Well, that's the first person that said they're waiting for wiggle room financially. Okay, Pat.
Bye-bye.
My mom doesn't like Mr. Skin either.
She doesn't appreciate his personality?
I just think she doesn't get it. She can't get over the
she can't get past the porn.
Yeah. It's not porn. Do you know how to do that?
It's just nudity.
Pornography.
It's in movies, in theaters everywhere.
He's a really nice guy.
Well, I think a lot of females like him. He's not mean to the women he's talking about.
No, it's a celebration of them.
Absolutely. He will, if you listen to him, he really does not come down on even heavyset people like Dunham. Yeah, Lena Dunham and girls or something like that.
Oh, he lets us degenerates do that.
And he doesn't encourage it either. I mean, honestly, there's not a negative word about anybody who is nude pictured on MrSkin.com. So that's my defense of him. But other than that, I mean, we talk about other stuff with Skin.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think he's one of the more popular guests that we have on a relatively consistent basis.
He's just a good guy.
Yeah. No, he's a sports fan. He follows. He's very up with what's going on. He's far from being just a porn guy. In fact, I don't even know if
porn.
You know, the word porn really kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he faces that all the time. He's got to be a pain in the ass. Speaking of porn, quote unquote, this was not porn. Okay, I'm reading this story about Ashley Graham.
Oh, yeah.
She's the heavyset model in the SI swimsuit edition, and she wants to be in Victoria's Secret.
Plus size.
Anyway, it's a story about her flashing her derriere in a red bathing suit.
Yikes.
Here's the copy of the story. Ashley Graham was bound to drop jaws as she took part in a sexy beachside photo shoot in Miami.
Jaws definitely were dropped.
The 25-year-old rocked a seriously tiny red bathing suit that left little of her derriere to the imagination.
Oh, it's only tiny on her.
Ashley worked her magic in front of cameras as she posed atop a jet ski, Go on the Sun,
okay,
and look at the picture and tell me if jaws were dropping because well, she was working her magic.
Well, they might be dropping.
No, I know exactly what you mean, but honestly, they're suggesting that it's this is extremely hot, and you should see the ass that this person's talking about.
Mm.
I think this is fake news.
Well,
I'm serious. It's fake news.
What's the title of the article?
Ashley Graham flashes derriere.
Is it flaunts incredible body?
Yes. That would be... is she wearing a red bathing suit?
No. Oh, gross. This is something else. Yikes.
She's on a jet ski?
No, she's walking...
Jay's got it. I know. Jay, can you listen to Jay? I mean, that is a very dimply... cottage cheesy ass, and I'm not trying to like pick on her. It's just that the article suggests that this is this beautiful ass, and that, you know, finally we get to see Ashley Graham's gorgeous ass. Look at this shot, Mark. You're not gonna believe this.
Ew.
what I love about this shot, if you look in the background, y'all, Mark and I always look in the background on things.
Oh yeah,
look at the cameraman. He looks horrified at what he's taking a picture of.
He's like 6 inches away from her, too.
And the other guy looks like, why are you taking a picture of me?
Yeah.
Ooh, are there more?
Yeah.
Yes. But this honestly is fake news.
Oh!
I know. Look how big. And
whoa.
I prefer women who are 10 pounds over versus 10 pounds lighter. I prefer 15 pounds over to 15 pounds lighter.
That's a lot of shadow.
Yeah. Wow. That's a girl who really is too heavy. And she's being celebrated as this super hot model. And it's, I mean, is this political correction hitting the modeling world? Because she's an SI, everyone is going to refer to her as being hot every time she puts on a bathing suit?
Do they recover the sunken jet ski?
Good question. There's a story. Boy, actually, the jet ski does look like it's
a little low.
Under some pressure
it's
there.
It's a little low.
It's struggling.
Isn't it? That's not just a joke. It's lower than usual.
It is, no.
It is. It's down.
The side she's on is really low.
Lifeguard.
It's
does she look like a lifeguard?
No.
No. God, no. Oh, yeah. She's, oh, God.
Wait, the theme is supposed to be lifeguards?
Baywatch, well, red suit, red swimsuit.
Oh, that makes it even worse.
Side of the jet ski.
Oh, there's a video. Lifeguard. Oh, boy. There's a video of her on the jet ski. Look how low it is. Are you watching it? Can you watch the video? Show Drew.
I don't wanna.
I'll spare Jay.
Thank
I'll
you.
Take one for the team and watch Mark's.
No. Let's see.
If it ever goes.
Delay.
It's so big it won't even load. yeah, it's not going, Drew.
Yeah, the play button is sinking under the weight of the subject.
Well, that's amazing that we all...
Isn't that just silly, though?
That we all have to pretend?
Way? Yeah,
I mean... It's a little condescending to her.
I think she's getting off on it. I think she thinks, because she says she's hot and she's in these hot publications, that she thinks she is rocking this one piece. And she keeps saying how sexy she is and how sexy she feels. And I'm okay with that, but I don't think the whole world should have to pretend that she's a smoking hot model. She's not.
I don't like her face either.
I mean, suppose I should just say nothing, but when I read that, I was just, I don't know, I just thought, it seems like political correctness has hit the modeling world. I think modeling, just like the Academy Awards, I think we're going to put all the girls' names in the hopper that want to be a model and pick them all out, and those are the girls in SI.
You know what's really funny, too?
Participation trophies.
This is on the Daily Mail, and the Daily Mail will do this with paparazzi photos. They'll show you where you can get the look. Online.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to buy what they're wearing. So they do that with her, and they show a picture of her, and it's sizzle like Ashley Graham in a C. Folly one piece, and it's got the explaining what the piece is. And then they have a model modeling it who is really hot.
Oh,
no
kidding.
So you're supposed to get the look of this model.
So the model looks hotter than the subject.
The model looks hotter than the model that you're supposed to be wanting to buy it off of.
And probably gets paid a ton less.
Yeah, I'm refreshing it here, yeah.
That is really weird.
And, you know, I think if they're going to have plus-size girls be models, that's, in a lot of ways, it's cool because girls are not all size 4 or size 2 or 0, and they want to see people wearing clothes like they wear, and that's fine.
Of course, but I'm not going to be in an Abercrombie & Fitch ad.
No, of course not.
Where's the plus size male models?
It's a good question. I think we got something to carry on about. Oh my God, the model's model's really thin.
See what I mean? She's hot.
She looks
like a model.
The model for the hot model should not be hotter than the hot model.
Yeah.
But she's way hotter. It's not even close. See, I'd be worried that they made it in the other model's size.
I just wonder if the one she's
wearing is cut differently or some different brand that makes them for big girls.
Well, it looks like it's cut differently because on Ashley Graham, it's riding way up on her hips, but on the model for the bikini, it's lower.
Yeah, it's very taut.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
All right.
Just thought I'd point that out. Do you want to bring up Faith Green and her murdering husband?
By the way, we'll post plenty of these pictures on there for the emailer's girlfriend.
Yeah, no, he'll think that the first thing he does when his feet hits the ground is to see chunky models.
Yeah, she's going to think he's a chubby chaser next.
Yeah, you know,
Channel 4 led with it
okay.
at 5,
I'm
and they
that.
Did go. They just spent time on it.
They played the longer cut?
I think so.
Okay, good.
This is the woman whose 4 children were murdered by her husband, who had murdered someone in 1992, spent 16 years in prison while White Boy Rick, he got in after White Boy Rick, got out before White Boy Rick. He's still in there. Of course he did. But he started a family, had 2 little girls with Faith Green, and this man, already a murderer of 1, and, of course, there was all this hullabaloo about, oh, he's reformed. He's a wonderful man. It was just a crazy one-time deal. Now he kills 4 more. 4 kids. Her kids from a previous marriage and their 2 girls.
And he was sentenced today, so she got to speak.
And, by the way, the sentence, 47 to 102 years. Why would he not get life?
I don't know.
I don't understand sentencing.
He's never getting out.
Well, he could be paroled in 97.
Aren't they all, what is it, consecutively, not concurrently?
He's eligible for parole at 97.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yes. How can he be eligible for parole at 97?
You said at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock?
It was at 5 o'clock.
Oh, okay. You know, she mentioned, by the way, the other 2 murders in her speech to him.
Yes.
Which I thought was kind of a classy move in a really tough situation.
You mean the previous murder of his?
Yeah, the what he was originally in jail for.
The 1992.
You were just talking about.
Right.
Yeah, the pregnancy. But, you know, this lady didn't know those people. So I just thought it was a classy move in a real tough situation.
And her father was his champion. Her father is a, I think he's a pastor.
Yeah.
And helped to get this guy out, claimed he was rehabilitated, and wrote on his behalf. And then, what do you know, he marries his daughter and does that.
Killed his granddaughters.
He said he had a stroke too. The father.
He had a stroke.
From the stress of all the fallout. Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, can you imagine how bad that guy feels?
That's where you came up with the idea that they should have to serve the leftover time if a person gets out.
Well, I think it's
only fair.
I think parole boards, if there was a punishment for being wrong, wouldn't they look at it a little differently?
Does Rod look a little different when he's not at the auto show, Mark?
Did you say Channel 4 at 5?
Yeah, I could have sworn it was.
It's super short at 5.
Fuck. What else could I have been looking at? I saw the Channel 2 version wasn't that long.
Did you watch Channel 4 at 4?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I did. I did watch it at 4.
Here it is. It's Maloney doing it.
Murder trial. So it was pled down to second-degree murder, but for all intents and purposes, it really changes nothing. He will spend most of the rest
second
of his
degree,
life in prison.
That's why I got less
and one
time.
Of the things that we heard from the prosecutor
and
the judge in this case is that anybody who was touched by it
went out and bought shit
because it was pled down.
Affected.
Yeah, he admitted it. He didn't fight it.
And we start with the family.
Still bullshit.
Your justice will come when you burn in hell for all eternity for murdering 4 innocent children.
Faith Green, whose scars were visible along her jawline. Put there by her now ex-husband while he had her zip-tied and wounded so she could watch him murder her 2 oldest children, 17-year-old Kara and 19-year-old Chadney Allen, while 4-year-old Kaylee and 5-year-old Coy Green were asphyxiating inside his car, lashed out.
If the day ever comes when I do wake up and it's not the first thing that I think about, When I look in the mirror, I will always be reminded by the scars he put on my face, cutting me from my ears to my chin with a razor blade box cutter.
Faith admitted she lives in constant physical pain and called Gregory Green, seated just feet away, a monster and a devil in disguise.
I am not and did not and will not suffer like you intended for me to do.
Yet Green had a first statement of his own.
You know, I do regret and I'm sorry for what has happened. You know, all I've ever wanted was a God-fearing helpmate that would support me and be faithful.
Judge Dana Margaret Hathaway
said he loves everyone and is a God-fearing man. He loves everyone. He murdered six people.
How about a little apology, maybe? Just a little apology?
The longer
I regret. That's all I can say. I regret.
The longer version, too, he talks about God's plan and how he's not giving up on God's plan. Well, what's God's plan for your two kids that you murdered and the other four people?
None of that. Telling Green his crimes were unconscionable and drew a cheer from the family, saying,
I'm convinced that you will be incarcerated for the remainder of your life.
Thank you!
Now, that was one of a couple of outbursts in a very packed courtroom with a lot of family and friends there who were trying desperately to hold their emotions down. And strangely enough, even the judge choked up on the bench talking about how difficult this case was. She wasn't even sure how everybody was going to get through it today. But as it stands right now, Gregory Green headed off to prison pretty much for the rest of his life. Back to you.
Hank Winchester coming up in the DealsInTheD.com studios. In about 20-25 minutes. Want to get to Today in Rock for March the 2nd in a moment. But first, a couple important words from our friends at David Hall Financial. If you love our podcast, then the one way to support us is to support our sponsors like Hall Financial. Mortgage rates and programs are constantly changing. Unless you're paying close attention, you could be missing out on an opportunity to save money monthly, reduce the interest over the term of your loan, maybe even purchase your dream home. Hall Financial makes it easy to find out what your payment could be or answer any questions you might have. Click the Hall Financial logo on the Drew and Mike Podcast webpage. Yep, drewandmikepodcast.com. It's that simple. Click the Hall Financial logo. Fill out the online form. There's no obligation. No pushy salespeople getting on your ass. Remember, that's in the copy, getting on your ass. Remember to go to our website. Click the link to Hall Financial. And for a link, that's just for Drew and Mike listeners. drewandmikepodcast.com, Hall Financial link. Or it's easy, too. Call 248-308-5000. Make sure you tell them Drew and Mike sent you. Restrictions apply. A Michigan-licensed broker, lender, and NMLS number 1467435. Okay, second and nine. Said hut. Equal housing lender.
It works really good when the website works, too.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, there's a big story about that in the business section, the green section of USA Today, as I like to call it. Save it for you, Jay. I figured you might want to read that for S&Gs.
About the Amazon outage?
Yeah. You want to check this out, Jay, while I'm reading this? Okay, thanks. Okay, so here comes bikini season. People start thinking about looking their best.
Yeah. Don't look like Ashley Graham. Instead, go to
Dr. Roche. I don't even know that he would do lipo on her. I think he'd want to lose weight. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. His ideal lipo patient is about 20, 25 pounds overweight, somebody who's actively trying to lose the weight, and maybe they just can't lose that last 10 or 20, and he can really make a difference on somebody like that. He does not want to do lipo on somebody that weighs 200 pounds that's going to gain the weight back, or he just can't make much of a difference.
He doesn't want to waste so much time. Stupid.
What are you waiting for? Stop putting off improving you. Dr. Roche can give you the look you've always wanted, whether it's breast augmentation, Brazilian butt lifts, Diva laser, liposuction, facial surgery, Botox. You're in good hands with Dr. Roche, one of the very few triple board-certified cosmetic surgeons in Michigan. Over 30 years, he's done more breast augmentations than anyone in the Midwest. Specializing in more natural-looking breasts, and boy, there is a difference who does this kind of surgery. He knows what he's doing. Call 248-338-1110. See how easy it is to bring out your very best features. 248-338-1110 or visit droche.com. That's Dr. Roche.
Okay.com.
Say it. Hut.
Second out of nine.
There you go. And Today in Rock is brought to you by Dr. Roche.
Second down and nine.
DROCHE is March the 2nd in 1955. Bo Diddley laid down Bo Diddley. at his first recording session at Universal Recording Studios in Chicago. That was the first tune he laid down. And maybe one of his best known, for sure, right? Yeah. I'm a Man, Bo Diddley, a few other pretty well. I love that guitar, that square guitar.
The Bo Jackson You Don't Know Bo commercial is probably his best work.
Possibly.
Isn't he easy?
His best known work, probably. His crossover work was a commercial. 1960, Elvis completed his army service, and on a stop on the way back to the USA, Elvis set foot on British soil for the first time, and by the way, the only time.
Because the colonel didn't have a passport?
That's correct. Elvis did not tour Europe because he never toured outside the U.S. because the colonel didn't have a passport.
Unbelievable.
That's not what he told Elvis, but that's the reason. The plane was stopping for refueling, so that's the only reason Elvis ever touched British soil. 1964, the Beatles began filming their first feature film, A Hard Day's Night, at Marylebone train station in London. There's a big scene in the movie at Marylebone. I think they're being chased by girls. Oh. But the amazing 1964, I mean, we were just talking about the Ed Sullivan appearance in February, and here they are in March, they're filming Hard Day's Night, and they were playing all those songs they had done in 63 and early 64. I Saw Her Standing There, I Want to Hold Your Hand, She Loves You, Can't Buy Me Love, all those number one hits, and already they're writing the Hard Day's Night songs, which were great songs. I mean, the prolific writing, I think, is what's most incredible. The volume of songs. Two albums a year plus 45s that weren't on the albums.
No wonder they burned out so quick.
You're not kidding. Well, they put out a lot of songs. I think they had 270 some songs in their catalog. Or 200, it's closer to 200 actually.
I love that you know.
I'm really pissed that I can't nail the absolute number. I think it's 176 actually.
Jesus.
Jay's going to check for me. 1974 Grammy, Stevie Wonder, Best Album for Inner Visions, also Best Vocal for Superstition, Best Vocal Performance, You Are the Sunshine of My Life. 1975 Los Angeles cops stopped a Lincoln Continental, found Paul McCartney at the wheel, smelled a pretty good whiff of pot.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Paul said, yeah, search the car, no problem. They find 8 ounces of pot.
Oops.
Linda took the rap, and she got some probation. 1985, boy, they had a lot of busts in the 70s between the UK and here. 1985, the Smiths are number one in the UK with their biggest song, How Soon Is Now. 1991, Freeze All Right Now, one of my favorite classic rock songs, I think. 21 years after being a smash in 1970, it worked its way to the top five again for a second time. This happens in England all the time. It was on a Wrigley's gum commercial. And they re-released it. And they do that. The British record companies do that, or the British divisions do. And it works a lot.
Wait, so people go, I like that song, and they go,
no, they
it?
You know what they do is they say,
or they do their chart.
I never heard that song. Is it a new song? Really? I mean, a whole new generation, 21 years, that's a lot of years. They've done it with Beatles songs. I mean, literally like 30 years later, and it'll be maybe a minor hit, but a hit. Then 1976, What's the Story, Morning Glory gave Oasis their second number one with Don't Look Back in Anger, the first Noel Gallagher vocal.
Great song.
I don't know. Oasis singing, that's a great song. I like Noel singing, by the way. 2003, Hank Ballard died of cancer. Hank Ballard and the Midnighters, for those who remember. He wrote The Twist and recorded as a B-side. A year later, Chubby Checker debuted his version on Dick Clark's Philadelphia pre-bandstand show. Of course, it caught on, caused a big dance craze, was a huge hit. I think it was the biggest hit of 1960, and then 1962, Let's Twist Again.
Then he had to come up with a song himself to follow up.
Chubby, can't you come up with anything, something? I mean, you got to capitalize on the twist, man. Let's twist again, like we did last summer.
I always think of the that classic Chappelle stand-up bit about Michael Jackson. He's talking about the kid. He goes, that kid didn't want to see Michael Jackson. I remember Thrilling, and I barely want to meet the guy. It'd be like me when I was young going, give me the room of Chubby Checker. Give me the room of Chubby Checker.
There have been a lot of weird Chubby Checker stories over the years. That app to sign and find the size of your dong.
Chubby Checker.
The Chubby Checker, which only, I think it was 91 people, no, 83 people clicked on it for 99 cents a piece, and Chubby sued him for like $10 million.
It probably cost him a ton in legal costs.
He settled, he got something. Cut it out, Chubby.
And then he had to pay the lawyers.
Oh, that's true.
On top of it.
2008, Canadian guitarist Jeff Healey died of cancer. He had lost his eyes to cancer at 8 months of age. Went 38 years cancer-free, then got sarcoma in his legs, ultimately killed him.
Same day, Amy Winehouse was at number one with Back to Black.
God, great song.
Great record. Huge record. Lou Reed would be 74 if he were around. Eddie Money is 68, and is he opening the Pine Knob season?
Is he again?
I think he is.
Because, you know,
why is that a tradition? I've never understood why that's a tradition.
He's available.
But they always act like, who better to open the Pine Knob season than Eddie Money again? Like, if you say something,
he's available.
If you say something is a great tradition and someone keeps doing it, then people will probably repeat it. Go, well, he's always the opener. You got to see the opener.
It's a low-key show, so you can work out any kinks.
Eddie's just the best opener. And for some reason, he just knows how to open an arena. It's awesome. Karen Carpenter would be 67.
Pounds.
John Cowsill is 61.
Jay laughed.
The Partridge Family. I was trying not to laugh, but I was laughing. The Partridge Family were based on the Cowsills, who had a couple hits before the Partridge Family. And John Bon Jovi is 55 today. Day in Rock brought to you by Dr. Roche.
Jay, did you pull up that link I sent you? Yeah. Drew, there was a police chase today in Redondo Beach, California.
Yeah.
It might be the slowest police chase in history.
And really?
I've had it up. You know, it's a two-hour police chase.
Remember the chase? We watched it at
Subdivision?
Work. Yeah, when the car was doing three-point turns getting away.
Yeah, this is worse.
No way.
We're
in a minivan for starters.
I just saw this person wait for a jogger to cross the street before he turned right.
The guy being chased?
Yeah. He has been stopping at stop signs. So occasionally you'll see a cop car. Look, I don't know what minute you're at, but
he's going like 10 miles an hour.
He just waited for somebody to turn left in front of him. The police department sent out they were using drones to track him, which is kind of cool.
Whereabouts, Mark? We're like 52. Why would they need?
I'm a little further than that, about an hour seven.
I don't know why they need a drone.
Go to like an hour five.
Hours? This went on for an hour?
Yeah, it was a two-hour police chase.
Wait a second. How can they not get a cop car in front of him? He's going 10 miles an hour.
Stopping at stop signs.
Let's hold on just a second here, guys. Let's see if we can pick up the vehicle here. It looks like the police are kind of fanning out as well, so.
Why
are they fanning out? They're not trying to get away.
Maybe they're running out of gas.
We got about a minute, hour five in, Mark.
Okay. Let's see if you can see where he lets the jogger go.
I mean, everyone's going slow. The other traffic, the police, and him.
Yeah, most certainly here, guys. And I can tell you there are a lot of officers that are kind of fanning out in the neighborhood here. But I would assume that at least one of those cars has eyes on this guy and is in probably within a pretty close proximity of him as he tries to make his way. So
he's going 20 miles an hour.
Okay,
he's not
bear
eyes
with us
out
just
him
a second here. We're going to try and reacquire the car.
Yeah, he stops
bear
here.
For
look at him stop.
Is
traffic clear?
Back to you
okay,
while
here we go.
A little bit here.
The cop car comes flying up to his left side.
Why isn't there someone
there
further
go
down that road?
I see it. There it is. Okay. There we go. That's going to be Valley Drive again, guys. That's going
to
be Valley
It's
Drive
hard to
again
find out who's being chased because he's following all traffic
yes
laws.
He looks like another car in traffic.
It looks like one officer may be laying
this
back.
Is where he,
here,
I think this
yeah
is where he lets the jogger go in front.
They are aware of his location, but yes, it's short
the cops can't find him because he's driving like anybody
and,
else.
I'm trying to figure out why. I'm trying to figure out what they are planning here, but the Sheriff's Department helicopter is
he
right
stopped. He came to a very slow stop at a stop sign. Very slow.
Again, here comes the jogger.
Back about half a block. So there was
oh
no
my
one immediately
now he turns
look
right
at that jogger here. You can just kind of get a sense for
he's yielding the right of way to people.
We have cars, we have pedestrians, we have
there's
joggers
a cop, see, this on a motorcycle, just doing kind of stuff. Yeah,
why can't anyone get in front of him?
No idea. So this guy is coming into an area.
All
where
you need to do is put up
a
red light
that this is coming through here. But having
you've seen some
that,
of
you know,
those
of
TV
ago,
shows like this with the cop chases.
Oh yeah,
and you're like, oh, he almost took that car out, and he's like far away from it. What a stark, you know, contrast to this.
Yeah,
the worst.
A hard call here, but he is basically heading towards the beach again.
We're waiting for him to run out of gas,
speed.
I guess.
There are officers who are in trail.
Okay, there's him, a car in front of him, Drew. Cop car, see?
Well, back, cut him off! What are you doing?
Stops at this is where he lets
oh
the
my
truck,
God.
The truck turn left in front of him.
He waited his turn at the stop sign. What police department is this?
Condo Beach. Now, I believe a pit maneuver is done towards the end here. And he starts driving in reverse,
eventually,
which is kind of wild.
Does he get away going in reverse?
Well, we'll have to jump forward. You want to jump forward and see?
Well, I'm pretty curious. I'm pretty
invested at this point.
Right now, you're just watching a Sunday drive. Leisurely making his way. Boulevard here, and just a block off the beach. He's got his window down.
His hands are out the window.
It's a nice day in California. People waving to him.
You know what they're chasing him for?
I don't.
Hang back.
Maybe they want to give him an award for being such a kind driver.
I think they say he's a suspected carjacker. I think. That's what they said.
It seems hard to believe.
Why is he jacking that car?
Tell you that there are still units kind of somewhat behind him.
I think he's going to get a safe driving citation when they pull you over, seemingly for something wrong, and they go, "You're a safe driver. Give you a citation for that."
Essentially, the situation here, we're going to be leaving the Redondo Beach area, and we're going to leave this pursuit so we can get some fuel.
Oh, man.
That's amazing. There's no one near him. He's got like 100 yards on the next car. How did he get away?
Wow, so KTLA must have just dropped out.
That's him. It went dark.
Situation here. We're going to be leaving the Redondo Beach area, and we're going to leave this pursuit so we can get some fuel.
Wow.
Oh, boy. They never dreamed this guy would be out there for over an hour.
Yeah, I know, because I know there's video of him, you know, being caught. But
did he put up a fight? Did he try to run away or anything?
He drove in reverse.
Fast?
Street. Probably faster than he was driving forward.
Why'd he get so aggressive all of a sudden when he's in reverse?
That's when adrenaline kicked in.
Jesus.
Yeah.
While you're looking for that, did you see the controversy over Ivanka Trump's dress last night?
Oh, yeah, stupid.
Did you think there was anything that crazy about her dress?
No. And who cares anyway?
I know. I mean, it's just silliness.
It's right up there with Kellyanne Conway kneeling on the couch.
Now, was that really a to-do? Because I heard there was a lot of activity on social media about
it. It's a Twitter to-do.
And what were people angry about?
I guess that she was just lax on the couch while a serious meeting was going on with historically black college presidents.
She was taking pictures.
Oh, I know.
So she was like sitting on a couch with her feet tucked under her ass, kind of. So her feet were essentially touching the couch, which I guess will be kind of a no-no. But it's funny that people got so upset about it.
I don't think people were really upset. That's one more of those fake anger.
Well, the Trump dress was definitely getting some PO'd people about how inappropriate it was. She was next to the SEAL's widow wearing I think they were saying it was like a party dress, or it was too formal for the event or something.
Because it looked like her bra strap was showing, even though that was the design of the dress.
I think the design's kind of flawed myself, because I thought it was a bra strap, too.
But
I wouldn't think she would ever show a bra strap, so I kind of assumed it wasn't a bra strap, but it looked like a bra strap.
Nobody would wear a bra with a shoulderless dress like that. It's pretty stupid.
Pretty upsetting.
They were mad at Melania's dress, too.
Oh, what was Melania wearing?
It's too sparkly. It's too shiny.
Sparkly? I think I hear Hank Winchester.
Oh, well, he got such great directions.
Hank is entering the DealsNadee.com studios.
He got such descriptive directions.
To news viewers, you're watching Pursuit that's in progress. You see a number.
Grab some cans, Hank.
Following what appears to be an SUV, a bronze-colored SUV. We are not sure how many occupants.
Get the crap out of your way. Plenty of that.
How prompt. Even a slightly bit early. I love it.
Wow, 5 minutes early.
Well, I live right down the road.
True.
Right? I'm a neighbor.
We appreciate promptness.
Yeah, of course.
Great directions given to you.
Well, the photo of the stairway creeped me out a little bit.
It's a creepy stairway.
I told him I said it looks like a Chris Hansen Dateline stairway, you know, or a Bob Becerra stairway. If I was going to come down here, there was like a granite countertop. Every time Hansen confronted somebody, he was sitting like at a granite countertop in a kitchen.
I like the Becerra reference. That is a lot like the Becerra stairway.
Yeah, 100%.
The New Way Bar, is that what? Yeah.
It closed. Yeah. Burnt down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Every time Stephen Grant comes up, and he came up because it was a 10-year anniversary.
Right, right.
You did a story on that, didn't you? Or you guys did?
Yeah, Devin did it, actually. But, yeah, we went looked back at the case.
Well, for some reason, his name escapes me a lot. It's just one of those. It's been 10 years, so I always say to Mark, you know, Hank's friend. Because he liked you so much. Or, yeah. I mean, he considered you a buddy, kind of, sort of.
I think in his mind, yeah, maybe. But, you know, he's one of these dudes who's just obsessed with the media. You know what I mean? Just one.
Yeah, his own coverage.
100%. Yeah, I mean, the video of him, like, walking into the gas station every morning to pick up the news, the Freep, the Macomb Daily. I mean, he was just wanting to see himself in the paper. It's just it's bad.
Boy, that is weird. I mean, considering the pressure you'd be under.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know how anybody lives like that.
Well, I think in his mind, he just flipped. You know, he's like, okay, I committed this heinous act, whatever. He kind of put that behind him, and he's like, all right, now I'm going to be like a TV star. You know, so he had a different motive.
Any idea how he's doing in prison?
I have not heard from him. He wrote me a letter maybe 3-4 years ago.
So he's a pen pal now.
Yeah, didn't he screw you over, though?
Yeah, well, what happened was is he sent this letter, and he's like, hey, I'd really be interested in having you come visit. And so I took it to my boss, and she's like, hey, let's go. You know, just check it out. Go visit
like
him.
Like for a story or just because he wants to hang out?
Well, in our mind, it would be...
he just wanted to hang out.
I think he just wanted, you know, a little tank. Bit of a bromance, right? So in our mind, it would be a story. So we went there. We did the background check. We go through security, which, you know, takes a hot minute. And then the guard came up and he said, you know... And by the way, it's not around the corner. He's in Ionia. So it's a couple hours.
Oh, boy. Away.
Guard comes up and he's like, hey, Steven's having a bad day today, so he's not interested in seeing it. I'm like, isn't every day a bad
what?
Day?
Oh, I wish it was a bad day.
So that was the last time I heard from him. So, yeah, that chapter's closed.
He's packed on weight, hasn't he? Didn't we look
he
at
looks
him
weird.
In the
he
Otis
looks strange.
Gained a ton of weight. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, prison, I guess you either gain it or lose it, right?
Oh, yeah, some guys get really buff. They start working out like crazy. They have nothing better to do.
He's not one of those.
He had that great getaway in that truck he borrowed.
The yellow truck. Real undercover. Neon yellow truck.
Asshole.
That was a bizarre story. I mean, as far as covering a story, that had to be up there in terms
that's
of interest.
That's one of the most bizarre. Bashar is obviously another one that was just like, just because every day we think we would, you know, had heard the most crazy nugget.
Yeah.
And, you know, then there's a dungeon. Then there's a mistress. Then there's, you know, 100 people who've seen him at a barn party. I mean, it just never ended with that guy.
Drew, did you ever tell him, or I don't know if you ever heard the story. You read the book.
Yeah.
About Bob. Did you ever read the book?
No.
That was put out?
I know who wrote it. The Steve guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah. He wrote
yeah, Steve. Wait, was it
too.
Steve Miller?
Steve Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's
written quite a few local books
exactly.
That are pretty good.
But we like the one story where he goes out to Oregon.
Oh, to meet Mistress Rachel.
Rachel, yeah.
Yeah.
And first things first, he had to drive the car.
Yeah, at the airport. He's in a state he's never been in, and because he's, of course, Master Bob.
Which we thought that was a little weird. Who wants to drive someone else's car when they live there and know where they're going? Why would
he like a little, it was like a little 4-speed Honda or something.
Yeah. But I guess that's the whole master.
I mean, come on. He's Master Bob. What do you want?
But I figured he got lost. But then remember the tipping part?
Yeah, well, there was two aspects to their meals when they went out to eat. First of all, Bob made her put a napkin in his lap and hand him his utensils and, you know, just weird stuff like that. And people who she knew that saw her out said, this guy's weird. What are you doing with this guy? Because it was just obvious it was something very strange was going on. And then Bob left a very mediocre tip and made a big to-do over it, like, left you a fat tip. If you happen to notice, that's from me, of course. Yeah.
Master Bob.
You know, I mean, of all the things she probably had to do to him, that's probably, you know, one of the best. Yeah. Just put a napkin on his lap. Jesus.
I could not believe she carried through with the weekend after hearing about the first day.
Right.
Just how weird he was. And, well, first of all, why would you ever be interested in him in the first place?
Yeah.
He's such a tool.
Yeah.
But he beat the shit out of her.
And that was the woman, if I'm remembering correctly, who wasn't bad looking.
No,
right?
No.
She was okay.
It wasn't Rachel. It was the blonde, short-haired woman. She looked like the lead singer from Roxette.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best
wow,
way I can
what a
describe.
Callback.
It's the best way I can describe her. But she testified, too.
Yeah.
So,
good.
She was black and blue for months. after that. She was, yeah, and
the crap out of her.
I don't, you know, so I weird. Far from understand what that whole thing is about, but she even suggested that it was well beyond what anybody would anticipate in that scenario, even if you were familiar with that world.
Yeah, yeah.
So not only is he a murderer, terrible husband, but he's an awful master.
Yes, terrible.
He's a bad, terrible landlord. What did he do that was worth a shit?
Yeah, he was a slumlord, but that as a trial, I mean, it was just insane. And then you've got Vonda presiding over the trial. It was just like you couldn't even write it. That's why Dateline, I think Dateline did 3 different hours on Bob Becerra because their numbers were so high.
Yeah, it was an Bob was wearing Crocs. Story.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? He was wearing Crocs in the Dateline. Yeah. I don't know why
and
I remember that.
Then when he had the mug, do you remember the mug he drank out of?
That said, it was a Tervis tumbler.
Yeah, but it said, Bob.
Yeah.
How bizarre.
Yeah.
So
unbelievable.
Do you know how Bob's doing in prison?
No, I mean, he's still trying to fight it.
Yeah.
I have not had any contact with that guy at all, but he's in Northern Michigan and, you know, goodbye. That guy was a nightmare.
He is, he's got to be
the mayor.
The most unrealistic person in terms of, I mean, he clearly is out of his mind. I mean, he crossed a line, obviously, that he'd never crossed before. Once he crossed that first line, it seems to me it was. All bets were off because to think you would kill other people, it's like, well, I'll kill one person already, so what the hell?
Yeah.
But, you know, to make those plans, to offer money, to get the prosecutor killed or whatever.
And not offering money and putting out plans to rocket scientists. I mean, these people, you know, these were not like the best and the brightest when it came to knocking people off. And I think that's why his whole, you know, plan fell apart. But, you know, his whole issue was ego. He had this idea of what he was. And it just didn't match the picture that you looked at.
With the mayor of
Middlesex.
Middlesex, yeah.
How did he ever get that far in terms of people actually saw him? Some people saw him as this esteemed guy, this great community guy.
Bullshit artist.
That, and I mean, his family did have a name in the points. I mean, his dad was a judge, and he grew up in the points, and they lived on Middlesex. Jane had a good job. She drove the nice car. So, I mean, you know, I think they were able to play it off at the Lockmore Club. You know, he just was that guy.
Do you miss doing those stories or do you like doing that?
I miss really meaty trials like that. Yeah. I don't miss, you know, the everyday house fire or the murder just because they're
or being chased by scrappers.
Or being those are fun sometimes. But, the crime day in and day out without actually being able to offer like a solution or do anything meaningful is challenging. So
we were laughing the story you did on the boy who lost his eye, which is a great story. But the teaser you put together was when you asked him how old he thought you were.
20s.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, bless you. That was really funny.
I mean, the kid's off by 20 years, but who cares?
Yeah, he was a ball of energy.
He was awesome. That kid is great. And that's like one of the kids that you meet and you can actually spend some time with and do a meaningful story rather than just, you know, throw something on. I mean, we've been following his story since September, so we just aired it a few weeks ago, but real cool kid.
You know, the Bob Becerra story, what a once-in-a-lifetime kind of story that was. But I was just thinking of something else in the book that made me just want to be sick. And I think it came out, I think it was written about in the trial, when the daughter caught him looking at porn.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you know, I can't get up for your mom, so we're trying to have it's me or her. So that's why I'm checking out this porn. Or oh no, we had a picture of, we have something in his phone,
something
maybe?
Something in his phone, yeah. But then there found was a time she walked in on him too, right?
Yeah, he was on one of the alt website.
Oh, that's right.
He was trying to see if he could still get hard, I think.
But the weird thing about that scenario, too, that day when she caught him, it wasn't like he was, like, in a locked bathroom. Like, your daughter's home. You're probably going to try to find, like, the darkest corner of the basement or whatever. He's just like, whatever. Like, let it go.
You just take those opportunities when they come.
I guess so. I mean, explanation. Your father, you know better than me. I don't know.
The explanation, though, to your daughter, who's, you know, older. She's not like she was a stupid kid or something. I mean, that was, oh, my God. Bob Becerra. Wow.
Unbelievable.
A lot of those people really thrive in prison, though, from reading true crime. I've just found so many of those guys. They want to run the prison once they get in there. It's like,
you
a new place.
Thrive or you get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
So usually the guys who've done some harm to a child usually get their ass kicked. I always wonder how Kwame's doing. You know, that's another ego guy.
That's a great question. I'd love to know.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet you he's doing fine. Don't you think?
I think he would try
brilliant.
To.
He's pretty, you know, outgoing.
Charismatic.
Yeah. I see him leading, like, church services for the other inmates or trying to be, like, some larger-than-life figure who helps them rehabilitate themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
and tells himself he's doing something great.
I mean, the guy had charisma. Like, unbelievable. There's no denying that. He just, unfortunately, got too caught up in it.
You know? Greed.
Oh, I mean, yeah. To the 10th degree.
Yeah.
Well, Hank, man, it's been we've been wanting to get you on for a long time. We just didn't have the extra mic.
Hey, there we go. This is awesome. I love it. I mean, it's better than when you guys just kind of cold called me and like.
Well, that was kind of fun too.
Yeah,
because it was always in between, you know, going live and editing a piece, so you never had much time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Usually, like a text message ahead of time, like, "Hey, we're going to call you, and you're going to be live on the podcast." Might be good.
It's nice when you don't have time to think, though.
Right, no time to think.
Just let it fly.
Who's replacing Carmen Arlen?
Yeah, we want unedited Hank. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, this is really cool. I
well, the
it.
Big Channel 4 story today was Aretha Franklin.
Yes, she was on the morning show.
How come you got kicked off the Aretha beat? Was it Evrod?
Evrod is very good friends with Aretha, yes.
How do you get to be very good friends with Aretha? Because he's wondering. Like the third or fourth person in Channel 4 who has gotten tight with Miss Franklin.
Yes, exactly.
Hank tried to, but...
Although I saved her in my phone as Aretha just because I'm rebelling.
Ooh. Yeah, not Miss Franklin.
Hope she didn't find out.
That is Miss Franklin. Evrod's, he's like a singer, so maybe they bonded over music. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I was never friends with her. I just did some stories on her and whatever. Obviously.
But that had to be an assignment where they go, okay, we have to put the right person on this story or Miss Franklin will get upset. Or
It doesn't really fit my brand anymore, maybe. I don't know.
Was there ever a hinky moment with her when, you know, you asked the question that maybe she took the wrong way? Or she seems like the kind of person that could either go great or could kind of go south.
There wasn't a hinky moment, but there was an issue when Maya Angelou died. The network called the station because they wanted prominent people just kind of like in their cell phone, like Hillary Clinton did it, like talking in her phone. Everybody was reading a line from her poem, from a Maya Angelou poem. But Aretha, Miss Franklin, wanted a camera crew and like a piano and a hotel.
Oh boy.
I mean, it turned into a big production. And I mean, you know what it's like when you're dealing with different people, they have different demands. But I think her idea of what they wanted and what she wanted to do were kind of two different things.
Especially since they probably wanted it as fast as possible.
Yeah, speed.
So she just
right.
died.
You don't call the queen and just say, "Hey, pick up your iPhone. We need to shoot a line or two." You know, she's going to do it on her terms.
Although she made great comments when Prince died. Remember, she thought it was Zika.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because Zika was in the news. She's like, it could be Zika.
She released a statement after George Michael died. I mean, at the end of the day.
Did you think it was Zika?
I don't think it was Zika.
You have to appreciate her honesty, at least. She tells you what's on her mind.
That's determine what happened to George. That just kind of got quiet. But, I mean, she's worked with everybody. So, essentially, anybody who in the music industry who... you know, makes news, she probably has some sort of connection or comment about it, you know.
Were you doing the story when you had to get the hotel room and all that? Was that you?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Yes. So you had to put all that together?
It never ended up coming together because the hotel didn't want to play ball with us, and it was a nightmare. I don't remember how it all ended, but I just remember it was my photographer and I were sitting there going, "This is not good. This is not good."
So it ended with no.
I think it ended
basically.
With no.
Well, yeah. That's too bad.
Yeah, you don't really get put on the celebrity interview beat.
No, I'm not that guy. Yeah, I don't really know if there's anybody really in Detroit who kind of just does entertainment stuff, right?
Yeah, not anymore.
Lee Allen does movie stuff.
Lee Thomas.
Lee Allen.
You just combined it with Al Allen.
Yeah. Al's written like 5 books.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's doing really good. And Alan Lee. Yeah, Alan Lee is who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Alan's the older guy. Yeah, he doesn't Alan write Lee books. Passed. Alan Lee writes the books.
Yeah. He wrote the book, and I think one got picked up as a screenplay or something, right? At one point.
Like Sand Chaser.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in California. He's doing good.
Alan was one of our favorites.
He was great.
He was funny.
God, he was great.
How long was he doing that? Forever, wasn't he?
I mean, forever. And the great thing about Al is, like, you'd be out, you know, say you're just out and you're talking like we are right now. And then all of a sudden he would just turn and he'd go, "Coming up on Fox 2 News." And you're like, "Wait a minute, are you live?" You're just talking about, like, your kids. Like, you just turned and that was it.
Yeah. I remember he came into Riff a few times.
Oh, yeah.
It was really nice. And we're like, "Oh, but we were leaving." He doesn't listen. He doesn't know who we are.
No, he had no idea
what this show is.
No way. We must have met him 6 times.
Yeah, never remembered once.
It was just like every time there'd be a horrific snowstorm or something, you'd be like, God, they've got him out there again? Is there nobody else who can stand on an overpass other than this poor guy?
They're like, trying to kill Al Allen.
Jesus.
Come on.
God. Unbelievable.
So you guys have lost some bodies over there with Carmen, and well, Chuck came back. But actually, a lot of the old guard of TV has moved on in this town.
Especially, I think, especially at Channel 7.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Because you think about, like, all the street reporters. I mean, people that, when I was reporting on the street, it was, you know, Cheryl Choden and Mary Conway and Val Clark and Bill Proctor and, you know, all those people are gone. But, yeah, Carmen retired last year and Roger Weber. Yeah.
He was great, too. He's really good.
Yeah, Roger's amazing. But, yeah, I think Kimberly Gill, who's replaced Carmen, is
she's great.
Great. So, I mean, I think our deck is fully stacked, which is good, you know.
But that's really a big deal with TV stations. I mean, those faces like Carmen or Jerry Hodak or Bill Bonds or Robbie or whoever. I mean, people are so attached to those faces and they will watch those newscasts forever and ever and ever. And then when they turn them over, it's such a big deal. And fortunately for you guys, it's been pretty smooth. But, of course, Devin's been there a long time now,
right.
So he can probably carry it. But
Mark Krim still out there working.
Have you seen Mark
Krim on Detroiters?
Yeah, we've been watching.
He's on every week.
Hilarious. He's like the star. He's a scene stealer on there.
Mort's, I mean, Carmen, Mort, Bill Bonds. I mean, those are just like icon names, you know, in Detroit. There's no replacing those people. You just have to do your best to try to find, you know, somebody suitable. And I think they did a great job with Kimberly Gill. I think she's great.
She's sharp.
Yeah.
I was stunned at how funny Mort was on that appearance. The one with the, they do a variation on, did you see the one where he does
sexy
specs commercial?
Yeah.
Except they call him
Hunky Specs.
Hunky Specs, yeah.
D-O-G.
And Mort comes back and goes, hey, that was really funny. Let's play it again. Play the commercial again on the newscast.
Did you guys see the episode where they had the character that was kind of loosely based on Monica Conyers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Calls him a minion. I love that show. Last night's was really good, too. They had the parody of Dietrich Furs.
Absolutely.
It was Devereaux Wigs. And I just wonder how much of that translates to the rest of the country.
Right. Are people in Kansas going, what the hell is
that? I think as long as it's funny, and the Hunky Specs thing was funny because they were making fun of the commercial, and then Mort loves it, and then he turns around, everybody in the bar is doing the stupid dance. After two spins of the commercial, they're all dancing away.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Conyers episode was pretty good.
The male
obviously
prostitute.
For people who understand her, you know, you're like, oh my God, that's classic Conyers. You know?
Yeah, I hope that show sticks around.
Hey, so how did Help Me Hank come up? Because all of a sudden you went from Hank to Help Me Hank, and I mean, it's definitely a label that sticks.
And are people yelling like it at you on the street yet?
Yeah, drunk people love
it. Of course.
It's really fun when a bar is closing and you're walking out and people like to scream it. It's great. It came about because Ruth to the Rescue retired.
Oh.
So they had to...
I forgot that Ruth was gone.
They needed somebody with alliteration.
Yes, they needed somebody with alliteration. So they... You know, started with Ruth. They knew, you know, a good ways out when she was planning her retirement. So we started talking about it a few months before she left, and then it kind of all worked out. You know,
I was kind of surprised Ruth left. I'm sure she'd been there a long time.
Yeah, I mean, another one. She'd been there for more than 25 years, and
she looked great though.
Ruth,
really
is
good,
beautiful.
She's probably a lot older than I think she is.
How old do you think she is?
I think she could pass for. Well, I'd say past 47, 48, but I'm sure she's older than that.
Yeah, she's older than that, but yeah, I would agree with you. I think she looks fantastic, but yeah, she's older than that.
Very telegenic too, of course.
Yeah. I mean, Ruth is a performer. She was like a dancer for years, and like she stood a certain way in the studio. Like she just had it all, you know. Ruth was cool.
So these people like Carmen and Ruth, are they doing anything for four? Or are they just gone out the door? You almost don't want to show their face because you're moving on. Or?
Well, Ruth moved, so
she did.
Yeah, she moved to Florida. Her husband, I think they built a retirement home down there. Carmen is, you know, Detroit through and through. I don't think Carmen's going anywhere, and she's still affiliated with the station. I mean, she was just popped up during our auto show coverage. So
she had her. Was
that, oh, that's right.
It was her that had the house. Didn't someone get arrested outside her house or threw eggs at her house?
Somebody tried to firebomb her
house. That's right, firebomb.
Wow.
Yeah. But the police kind of caught the person in the act, if you will. So there wasn't really, she was fine, but I'm sure it was scary. But yeah, Carmen's just, I mean, look at her. She's beautiful. You know?
Yeah, she's another one. You never know how old Carmen is. I think she's 63, actually. I saw it in the paper, which I'm sure she was horrified.
Thrilled, yeah.
No, she looks amazing.
But, I mean, look at that. Started there in 1977, 78. And, I mean, just, you know, you think of Detroit television and you think of Carmen Harlan. You know?
Well, you're from here, right? I know you went to Central.
Yep.
Where were you born?
I was born at Beaumont. William Beaumont, Royal Oak.
Yeah.
And then I grew up in Troy. And then in middle school, we moved to Saginaw. My dad got transferred to Saginaw.
Okay.
And I went to Central Michigan and then, you know, bounced around in tiny TV markets until I came
home. Just can't believe you ever left Miami because that's where you were before.
Yeah, but Miami was – I left Miami because the competing news director ended up at Channel 4 in Detroit. My contract was up. And I just didn't fit Miami TV.
Why?
Because I was literally every station has like a white guy. And so they already had two white guys. Everyone in Miami is Latino and should be because they represent the community. And I just got there at really bad times. I got there during Elion and I left during the recount. And so I was stuck in an apartment in Tallahassee for like 3 months. I was ready to go.
Was nothing to do in Tallahassee either.
Nothing to do in Tallahassee. The highlight of the day would be watching Shepard Smith, like, argue with people over his parking
spot. I broke Elian's bed.
Oh, my God, those Chads. So, yeah, I was ready to go. But Miami back then, too, wasn't as – that was 99 to 2001, I think I was there. It wasn't as, you know, Miami.
Was Shepard
with
Fox?
Yeah, Miami's
was
gotten better.
Was he with Fox then, or was he with a local station?
No, he was with Fox.
Was he a dick?
He got arrested for getting into a fight with a reporter over his parking spot.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, wow. I didn't remember that.
Yeah. Hey, I got a great question for you. Did you know Shepard was gay?
I'm
not that it matters.
Because I'm gay.
You have to represent the whole community. Hey,
did your gaydar tell you?
I guess I knew he was just because of people within the industry that I'm friends with told me he was, but I guess watching him, I didn't necessarily pick anything up. I don't know.
That's funny. I heard that at some point, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I don't know, for some reason, I just didn't believe it. Not that it matters one way or the other, but I just...
publicly came out, what was like 4 months ago?
Yeah, it wasn't long ago.
During the Roger Ailes debacle.
Yeah, and no one was surprised. Like it was.
That's
like,
right.
Well, yeah, okay.
It was a big non-story.
Yeah, well, I guess was it a big deal just because, or people would not assume he was because he worked for Fox, maybe?
I think you're right about that. But I think you're right. It was out there. Huh. Enough people had heard it that it was just sort of a confirmation of what a lot of people knew anyway.
Were you guys surprised? You weren't surprised by Anderson Cooper.
No,
not at all.
You're like, no.
Surprised the other way. Well, the other one was David Muir, allegedly. I don't think he's out of the closet.
There's been those rumors,
and it's like I just never thought about it either way. But
I would think he'd be out though if he was. Yeah. I mean, it would be a huge thing for a TV anchor on one of the networks.
Do you know him at all?
I don't know
because I think he's terrible.
You do? Why? I think Lester's great.
He seems phony. Hmm. Lester's fantastic.
I think he's trying too hard.
Yeah, especially when he's on Good Morning America. He's just awkward. I don't know.
He's got some good hair in that picture, though, right there.
Yeah.
It's all about the hair. Let's get real.
Of course.
GMA is unwatchable anyway, so.
I could not agree more.
That's why I watch it every day. Yeah, it's so bad.
We hate watch it.
I laugh.
Michael Strahan has got to be the biggest disaster. Here he's supposed to come on there and knock the ratings up 15% or something, and he has no business on that show. It's ludicrous.
Once again,
opinion.
First thing you did today. Throw it to the weather story. Started laughing as soon as he did it. Because, you know, George is doing the whole speech last night, the Trump speech.
Yeah.
And then they cut to Michael. There's tornadoes somewhere in America. Here's Ginger to talk about it. It's like every day he just throws to the weather story. That's all he does.
Tornadoes.
But they were trying, when he first got there, they were trying to get him in the middle of all the big stuff.
Yeah.
And he was just kind of fumbly, stumbly. And I think something happened there. And there's a shot in the... let's see, is it the Globe, which is not always a perfect source for stories like that, but there's a shot of him and Robin really getting into it.
Oh, he pissed her off today. Did you see him piss her off today?
Was that about her slippers?
Yeah, he called her out for not wearing shoes.
You think she was really pissed?
Oh, I think she was livid.
Oh, man, you really watch that show?
I do.
God.
Well, it's really, it's because it's the news stories. And
yeah, we for our show, it's kind of a good place to get
I mean, they do so much entertainment and pop and just, I feel like I'm watching E! News.
The second hour is like that, because today they did all the Dancing with the Stars people. Which...
Yeah, I just can't. And I don't know, I think Matt Lauer is still like so good and on top of his game that, oh, wow, that does look like they're pulling up that photo of Robin Roberts.
Yeah.
Is that a producer?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, there was definitely some ugliness going on. There's some better pictures. Well, maybe you'll find it.
But. I think Strahan probably said to her that he didn't like the movie Moonlight. It's probably over the movie Moonlight, the way she's been the last couple of days. Michael
she's
probably
wearing,
said, I didn't see it.
Shoes, though.
Yeah, it was a few days ago.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the network kind of pushed him into that, but why screw up the well-oiled machine they had with Live? I mean, it was doing killer numbers. People liked him on that show. And
we said all those things, Hank. We're like, what is he doing? The last thing he needs is to get into a more complicated job. He's got the football job.
Right.
6 months a year. He's not that good. I mean, you got to be really good to have those two jobs and do them really well.
I don't mind watching him with the football.
No,
actually,
he's okay.
I think he kind of blends in with everybody pretty well. He just seems like he just does not fit on that GMA set, like physically, socially, everything. It's awkward to watch.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It was like, it's like Ann Curry, that whole thing. That was a mess.
Oh, yeah, that was a disaster.
When it doesn't work, you just have to fix it.
It's funny how quickly you can tell, too.
Right away.
I think they'll fight it because somebody important decided to do it, and so it's got to work.
Wow, she did. Lauer got her out of everything. Yeah, where's the last time you saw Ann Curry do anything?
I think she's still associated with the network somehow.
Really?
I think she is.
Yeah.
But she made such a stink that I think that made it pretty tough for her.
Yeah.
If she'd gone more quietly, she'd probably be in a better place right now.
They had her cover the Sudan, and there's just no news of Sudanese refugees anymore.
They sent her as far away as possible.
Hank, did you see the Oscars pregame show, you know, the interviews of people on the red carpet?
I didn't see the pregame.
Strahan had actually all his interviews were horrible. They were all the least interview-worthy people, and he stunk them all up. They were just, the questions were so stupid. I'm convinced he writes his own questions.
Man.
Halle Berry was the worst.
He writes his own questions and then answers them.
Yeah, he answers them while he's asking them.
And was it like an awkward moment with Halle Berry, or was it just like they couldn't, like, gel or
it was painful if you're sort of up on let's watch it. First of all, the questions are real obvious. I think you could have picked much better questions, but
and you're playing a mother who had to rescue her kidnapped son, and did your maternal instinct kick in because you're a mother?
Oh yeah. I mean, what I do in the film is one thing, what I would really do in life is another.
No. I'm looking at you going, I don't want to mess with you. I'll be honest with you, don't mess with your babies. But you've done a good job of keeping your kids out of the spotlight. Is that something you've consciously done to be careful with your kids?
I do. I mean, I'm really leery of this world of social media and exploiting our children, and I'm worried for their safety. And so I think it's my job as their mom to sort of, keep them out of that world and sort of shield them from all of that. They'll have plenty of time to be out there on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff, but not now.
Not now. And you know what? You were the first and so far the only black actress to win Best Actress Oscar back in 2002. But this year, there's a black actor nominated in every category. So how do you think this has promoted the diversity in Hollywood? You think it's been a good
boost
to the diversity?
No.
I like to believe that all those moments when one of us goes, that it matters, and it's the culmination of all of that that got us here this year. Ruth Negga is also nominated this year in that category, and I'm hoping there's another woman of color.
I do like her hair, I will say.
She's getting ragged online for it.
Is she?
Maybe not as fast as we would like them to, and some years we're not represented like we would like to be, but I think if we look at it as a whole...
I mean, this is just white noise to me.
She's just rambling on.
But like, who cares about all that crap? Like, it's ask her about her dress and her huge hair. And
who cares about her dress, Hank?
But I'm saying, like, well, because I'm gay. No, but I mean, that's why people watch those shows, right? They don't care about her children being stalked on Instagram. They want to know about
She protects her kids. She's maniacal about it. I mean, even ask a question is ridiculous. I mean, if you want to ask why or if there's something that spurred that on. But I thought he was just asking the most obvious questions.
If you watch those shows, too, don't you want to see a little bit of a real personality? I mean, these are the elite, these Hollywood elitists. Don't you want to see them be maybe try to be a person?
Yeah, I mean, they
just break through that phony shell.
He's just not the guy that I would put out in that. I mean, Robin does a really good job.
She's all right.
Ginger, maybe. But
she's pretty good, Ginger.
Yeah, she's cute, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
She's working Grand Rapids. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they hit on that a lot. Hey, Hank, it's funny. I said something about you not too long ago, and I know, Mark, you know what I'm talking about. And I thought, God, that wouldn't be an offensive thing to say. What? I don't think it is, but I just want to say it anyway because you're here.
Look at it. Like, right.
I know. It's
God's name.
Way too much setup. Just that you make being gay look really easy. And I know it's not easy, but I mean that is a compliment. You just do your business, you do whatever you do, and it doesn't seem like it's. I mean, I don't think of you necessarily as gay first,
right?
Which is what people do to gay people, I think, a lot.
Yeah,
and it's a big deal when people come out. I mean, it really is, but it didn't seem like it in your case.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long. I mean, it was back when I was, I guess, living in Miami. So by the time I'd moved to Detroit, everything was just kind of, you know, that was my life, you know. So.
Well, how hard was that, though? I mean, I'm sure you're going to say, well, it wasn't easy, for God's sake. But I mean that in a nice way.
I think the only challenging parts were, you know, I'm Catholic and my family was a little conservative. But once they met my now husband 10 years ago, everybody was kind of cool with everything. And, you know, I don't know. I just think that so much has changed in especially the last 5 years. It's really unbelievable. So, you know, I really don't think it's that big of a deal. And I don't make it a big deal. So it's not like, you know.
Maybe that's why it appears that way.
That I like lead off with, you know. And I joke about it. I think that you have to be self-deprecating. So, you know, if you can't have a little bit of a sense of humor about it, you know, whatever.
We talked to a guy, was that about 2 months ago on the podcast? And the 91-year-old guy.
Oh, God, yeah.
And he had been kicked out of the military for... wasn't don't ask, don't tell. It was just he was caught in the some
guy threw him under the bus because that guy was caught. And he's like, well, he hangs out with gay people. And
it was like the Rock Hudson thing when Rock Hudson was going to be
under the bus.
Yeah, outed, and Rock Hudson's publicist outed someone else to spare him. So he got kicked out. So anyway, at 91, someone suggested that he be given an honorable discharge, mm-hmm. and he was real happy about it. So anyway, we called him on the podcast, so we're talking about it. And we started talking about being gay in the 50s, and he's like, oh, my God. People have no idea what that was like.
Can you even imagine?
No, I mean, can't. I mean, it would be unfathomable.
I was born at the right time. I mean, now it's like, you know, with my younger nieces and nephews, many of whom obviously were at our wedding, it's not even on their radar. Like, they didn't even understand the whole gay marriage debate. They're like, wait, it's not already legal? Like, they just, you know, the kids who are like 20 or in their teens are like, I don't understand. Like, they just, they didn't get it. So I think... a generation from now, we'll look back at it and be like, what the hell was everybody so freaked out about? You
know? Millennials are really different. They just, having grown
so
up,
many ways.
So different. Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about your nieces and nephews, I mean, that you're right. That's even another step.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, in high school and just starting college, and they're just like, who gives a crap? You know, whatever.
Because most people know somebody who is.
Right. I mean, my nephew was my best man, and he's just like, this is, you know, who cares? It's stupid.
Wait, your nephew was? How old is he?
20.
Oh, okay.
Two?
I don't know why. I just hear nephew. I think like 12.
I know. I do too. It's like Jim Price Jr.
You had a 12-year-old best man? So weird.
I'm trying to think, though. I don't think I knew a gay person in high school, honestly.
Well,
not
you did.
One.
You just didn't know.
No, exactly. And I found out at the 20-year reunion, which was, oh, wow, of course. But,
That's funny. I'm trying to think. I'm like, God, who's gay?
Of class? Course, someone had to be gay, but it's just, I didn't mean it quite like that. That's funny, though. But and funny. In fact, I remember him dating a girlfriend of mine's friend, and she always complained that he never hits on me. And he always said, oh, she's such a prude. I can't get near her. And it was, you know, he was gay.
Huh.
He wasn't interested.
That happened to Julie, my wife. She was really into this guy. In high school, turns out he's gay. And she's like, oh, wow, that really explains it now.
Oh, she probably feels better.
Yeah.
Well, 100%. Yeah, totally.
Why wouldn't you?
Well,
Hubert Spires, that's the guy. That's right.
Remember, we were asking him about if he came out to his parents and if they ever knew.
No, they never knew. They died at 88. He never told his parents.
Well, until
he was
we
gay.
Found out what he did for a living, and then we decided, they probably knew.
I mean, they probably died in like the 60s, though, or something. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Well, or in the 70s, but he ran an antique store with his best friend. Oh, like his best friend and roommate.
Like one of those Hoover situations, like J. Edgar, you know?
Oh, yeah.
His friend.
Clyde.
That was a good movie.
Or Nixon.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was.
Nixon and BB Rebose.
Well, I think Hoover and Clyde, though, they lived together.
They lived together.
They drove to work together. They drove home together. They went on vacation together. Yeah. I don't know how in the hell that was never discussed.
Were they buried next to each other?
That's very possible. I mean, they were as tight as you could be. But, you know, here's a guy who's running files on anyone he can get for anything, for any kind of sexual innuendo.
Yeah, Martin Luther King.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that movie is wild. But I think there's still a lot of people, you know, I mean, I have friends that I know are married, but I know they shouldn't be married to a woman. You know, I mean, there are still people that are living kind of like that. Don't look at me all freaked out.
I write their names down.
Let's call them.
Yeah.
Let's call their wives.
What's your wife's name?
That's got to be so strange to know that because, I mean, I would feel bad for the wife.
Yeah. I mean, they've been friends. The one person I'm thinking about specifically, who I obviously will never name, is just.
They work at Fox 2, though.
Fox 2.
In front of the camera.
No one work in TV. But I mean, they've been married for like 20 years. So I think it's just, you know, I mean, I've encouraged him to be honest about it, but there's only so much you can do.
Do they have kids?
They do.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you do that?
I think it's a lot more common than you think.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right.
Yeah. Go on Craigslist.
How do you
look
do
at,
that?
Look at the ads.
The down-low action.
Look at the down-low action. It's it's prevalent everywhere.
But that guy could just as well in 20 years suddenly just say, I'm gay, I don't want to be married, and boom, like Caitlyn Jenner.
Well, I don't know. Come on, you're smarter than that. Caitlyn Jenner is a whole nother. That's a whole nother world.
But Caitlyn Jenner, I mean,
yeah, look at those freaks.
Bruce Jenner.
No, I'm saying.
Thanks, Mark.
I like the idea that you're talking about sexuality and gender being.
I just mean,
but I just
he
like
could have stayed Bruce Jenner. He could have continued.
That's
to be Bruce
I see
Jenner.
Your point now. Yes,
yeah.
You're
that's
not
all
saying
I meant.
The gay guy turned into a trans.
No,
guy.
No, no, no.
Yeah, yeah,
but I like the idea. I like the absurdity of a gay person hating the trans people. I mean, the struggle is pretty similar in a way. It's not exactly similar, but it's a struggle. And it would be funny if one or if a gay person was horribly racist, which probably happens.
I got to tell you, I was listening to, let's see, who was talking about Amir Stoudemire today?
Mari, about if he had a gay teammate.
Yeah, and he was saying he would not change in a different locker room. Yeah. He'd drive a different route to work. It was bizarre. Yeah. It was like, what was that?
He has a history, though, of making comments like that.
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. But I'm surprised that a black guy, I just expect blacks to be more sympathetic to anybody who has a similar plight of being discriminated against or prejudged in some way. But in the black community, being gay is a real issue.
Yeah,
it's
a
huge issue.
I think that's where the phrase down low came from, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was from the black community. But I, for the most part, I don't think athletes care if there's a gay guy in the locker room. The gay guy in the locker room who's also an athlete is not there to check out dudes in the locker room. I can tell you that.
You've never checked out dudes in a locker room?
Listen, you've checked out dudes in a locker room. Don't act like when you've walked into a locker room, you haven't done like, oh, how am I comparing? Yeah, of course everybody has. But you're not sitting there going like, oh, I'm going to hook up with this guy. I mean, like, no, of course not.
Well, you know what? The only thing I can compare it to is if I was in a locker with women. And if I was in a locker with women, that would be a real problem for me.
But are you really horny in a locker room?
He said, if he was, I guess.
There were athletic chicks in there getting undressed? I don't know. I mean,
maybe.
That's probably not a fair comparison, but that's the only thing I know what to think of.
Check him out.
I don't know. I just don't. I mean, I've been, obviously, in regular locker rooms. I've been in professional locker rooms. It's just never really hit my radar.
People just, is this a torturing conversation, by the way?
Yeah. I really just want to fall into the floor.
Oh, no. Hank will never come back. Oh, shit.
Let's talk politics. Religion? Anything else?
We've got a million things, Hank. We're just going down that path, and it seemed. I mean,
no
obviously
one can get going down a path. It's kind of hard to stop.
Yeah,
us.
We should call your friend. No, I'm kidding. Oh, we got the tabloids. That's always fun. Or no, you're not into celebrity stuff, are you, Hank?
No, I follow it. You are. I just don't cover it. But yeah, I follow it all. I mean, I still can't get over the whole Oscars thing. I just love every minute of it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, because it was such a debacle. And now they're calling out the poor. I mean, the guy's just probably a total accounting tool, too, from PwC.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to track that guy down.
He's blown out.
They're saying he was tweeting and drinking backstage, and that's why he handed the wrong
envelope. Oh, was he drinking backstage? I didn't know he was drinking.
They said he had a drink, and he was told last year to stop tweeting because he wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm.
He was on the red carpet taking pictures, too. No,
he was big stuff.
He was big stuffing.
There's a bunch of pictures of him now where he's backstage watching the monitor constantly, which I guess he wasn't supposed to do. Like, he was just watching the show backstage.
Oh, wow.
On the monitor.
Seems but like a pretty simple task, though. Hand the envelope that says best picture to the guy walking out to present it.
The Academy told him, and the girl, which had nothing, she didn't do anything wrong, but told him they're bye-bye, never again. But he gets to keep his job with Price Waterhouse.
Yeah, Brian Cullen. Yeah.
Well, we always laugh about the big to-do over the accounts, you know, and you know, they bring out the two accounts, and it's always like, what is so hard about counting 1,000 votes? I mean, there's not that many votes. It just seems like it's way too much. It's not the hardest thing Price Waterhouse does in the course of a year, and yet they fucked it up.
That was his big moment now, because when you watch the replay, it's all I see is him standing in the middle of the stage like a total deer in headlights.
I know. I'd love to hear all
Mr. Take Charge Bald Guy from La La Land.
Where is Faye Dunaway in all this? Isn't she ever going to show her face again?
When is she going to break her silence?
Did you see Shirley MacLaine spoke out today?
She did?
No, what did she say?
She saw it coming? She knew it was coming?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, she's Warren's sister.
She's Warren's sister, and she said that she believes that he should have an opportunity to redeem himself next year by handing out the award again. I mean, come on,
Nobody
Warren.
Blames him.
Right. I mean, I kind of blame him a little bit.
Well, for sticking the thing in Faye's face.
Right.
And she just goes, La La Land.
It said.
She thought he was doddering. She thought, you doddering old man.
Yeah, you can
come on, read it.
You're impossible, Warren.
I mean, he should have just said, hey, guys, I'm sorry, but I have the wrong card. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the New York Times wrote that article. Was it the Times or the Post? But not that it was fair, but they wrote this article saying, you know, he hasn't had to think for years. Yeah. You know, everything's just kind of done for him once you hit that kind of celebrity world, and he just froze. I think he literally froze and thought, holy shit.
Yeah, what do I do?
Well, it is, you know, there's 2 billion people watching. It is immense pressure, but I would think Warren Beatty would be, I don't know, I just expect him. He's a smart guy. He's a brilliant guy. I mean, look at the stuff he's done.
So many years, you'd think just whatever.
Do you think he was looking around like if it was some kind of joke being played on him, or?
I don't know.
Maybe he's hoping somebody realized the mistake and was going to come running out with the right card.
Yeah, I think maybe he did think that because he was taking his time. He didn't want to say the word, but he didn't seem to mind Faye saying it.
The way she blurts it out.
Yeah, and she disappeared. I mean, she was nowhere to be seen.
She was already in a limo by the time Moonlight got up there on her way home.
Oh, my God, that's great.
One thing in the Bloids this week is Jack Nicholson supposedly is going to make another movie, which I didn't know if I'd ever see that again. He's 79.
Huh.
Jack is. And
Where has he been?
I don't know. He doesn't even show up at award shows anymore. He used to be in the front row.
Yeah.
And people would always talk to him, and you know, he have his sunglasses on.
I can't think of the last movie he did.
Is he still popping up at Laker games? I mean, that was always his thing.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Is he still at Laker games?
I think he has been. He and like Penny Marshall are like pretty consistently.
Diane Cannon. How old is Diane Cannon?
She still looks good.
She does. She's got the blonde hair still.
I thought Faye Dunaway looked good.
Yeah, she did look pretty good. Funny, there's a tabloid story about
she's had no work.
Hideous, she looks.
She had no work done on her.
I mean, she's what, 70? How old is Faye Dunaway?
I know. Well, the standard is just ludicrous. It's like you can't look 40 forever.
Look at that. Not a wrinkle.
She's 76.
Yeah, she was in some great flicks. It sounds like that whole Mommy Dearest thing just sunk her career. You know, playing
that was a really good movie.
It was a great movie. I thought it was fantastic. But apparently, a lot of people in Hollywood were pissed at her. For taking that role?
Whatever. It was great.
Who cares about Joan Crawford anyway?
Right, yeah. I mean.
But remember how hot her career was? Bonnie and Clyde and
yeah.
Chinatown. And I mean, she was in a ton of great stuff.
Well, and you know, just pulled it up. Worth $40 million. She doesn't give a damn.
Celebrity net worth. I like the way Hank just read that. Like there was the source was not in question at all.
is that fake news?
It's.
There's been a lot of debate over. celebrity net worth and how valid it is.
Yeah, none of them are right.
We read it as if it's completely accurate.
Yeah. Here's it's more fun. That way.
Do it to local guys, and you'll see that the numbers are way off.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. What is TV paying these days? I mean, it used to be. I remember Bill Bosch supposed to have
I didn't mean like Devin Skilling.
Oh, okay. you mean our local actors?
Celebrities, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Tim Allen.
Sure.
Tim Allen's got to be worth a ton.
I think the debate really started when they had Justin Verlander.
Eminem 190, 190
million. Right. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. You can look at an athlete's contract because they're public.
Look up Hank's buddy, Matthew Stafford.
And then you can Google the amount, and they just don't add up.
How is Matthew doing?
Matthew's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went to dinner Sunday for Sam's birthday.
When's Kelly, one of those babies due?
I think in April.
April? Wow.
Wow.
She's doing great there. She's a knockout. She looks great. I mean,
he is going to get that deal. There's no way they can't sign him. They've got to sign him.
Yeah, I just read they had Quinn quoted today, right? Bob Quinn?
He spoke at the combine.
Yeah, yeah. So, he said that he's a priority for the team. And, I mean, he had
They're
a great
damned
year.
If, you know, like they have.
What to. Would they do just, if they didn't sign Matt Stafford? I mean, it seems to me that's just taking such a huge step back.
Jake Rudock. Quinn made news today, too, because he was talking about Mixon. Joe Mixon, the Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
And what a shame it is he's not there, and they wouldn't rule him out, which, of course, I mean, the NFL's forgiving if they think a guy can play.
Well, they've got to get a back. I mean,
no, I know, but the whole point is, you know, Mixon, the guy that punched that girl.
Right,
right. Oklahoma.
Okay, second down and nine.
That's where that came from.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, the whole Brent Musburger controversy?
Yeah.
What'd you think about that?
I mean, I don't. It's just so tough. I mean, because the guy's, you know, like he's an icon in a way, you know, and just it's just a tough situation. You know, stay away from it.
Did you think it was who's it? Michelle Brennan,
Christine
Brennan.
Christine Brennan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wrote an article. You know, it's time for Brent to go. I went to Northwestern too. I love him, but he's got to go anyway. We talked to her, and she was adamant.
Now?
Brent's 77.
Yeah, I mean,
he did retire shortly after that.
Okay,
yeah. She wanted him to go because he's antiquated in his thoughts.
Yeah, not because he couldn't call the game.
Yeah,
but it started with the Alabama thing, which I thought was a big to do over nothing. So he said a couple girls are pretty. I mean, one of them was a pageant girl anyway. I mean, I don't think they were actually they were not offended.
Catherine Webb.
Excuse me. Yeah, she came out and said, thanks, Brent. I considered it a compliment. So I don't know. She was
the quarterback's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
AJ
she
McCarty.
Was beautiful. I mean, who cares?
It was her job, too.
Right.
She was Alabama.
But he didn't say anything offensive about her.
He took a lot of crap for that, though.
Yeah. She is beautiful.
Probably more for this, I would say.
I still think the worst one is the Carrie Fisher obit from Steve Martin.
Oh, Steve Martin. You hear about that?
No.
Steve Martin said. When I first saw Carrie Fisher, I thought she was the most beautiful creature I'd ever seen. And then he said, I later found out she was smart and funny, too.
Oh.
And so he got wailed on for bringing up her beauty first.
Oh, man.
I know.
But you don't, that's the first thing you get from a person.
Well, what's so look, how was he supposed to know how smart she was?
Yeah.
Anyway,
you watched the documentary with Carrie Fisher?
Oh yeah,
it's great.
It's so watchable.
You didn't like it?
No, it's just it's weird.
It's weird.
It's weirdly watchable though, isn't it? Yeah. It's like I couldn't turn it off.
It's like watching the Osbournes or something. You're like, this family's so crazy.
Well, why is she? Why is Debbie Reynolds touring?
I know, wasn't that funny?
She can't get it out of her system. She just can't. You know?
Let me rephrase that. Why are people going to see Debbie Reynolds?
Because they're 80.
Yeah, I think my in-laws would go if she was playing like the Sarasota Community Center. They'd be all for it.
We couldn't stop laughing because the crowd, when they want to give her a standing ovation, it really took a lot of effort for them
to stand up. Yeah.
Get up.
Yeah.
It was like, a couple of people just couldn't quite pull it off.
They said, fuck it. They sat through the standing O.
It's like you guys talked about the Rich Little shows.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Rich Little. Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Rich Little. Well, I'll never get Rich Little out of my system because when I went to Phoenix, they had this thing set up with Rich Little. Before I got there, and it was like, hey, you guys do this thing with Rich Little. And this was 1988. And I was like, Rich Little? I mean, isn't he kind of over? And they're like, well, I know, but he's opening a new mall. And so my partner and I were there for a week, and we had to do this thing. We dreaded it all week. Oh, we should get out of this Rich Little thing. So we went out there, and it was at 4 o'clock. We got there like 4:15, and there's a velvet rope, and there's like 8 blue hairs in line, nobody else. And we're like, oh no, this is worse than I thought. So we around 4 o'clock, we went up there and sat down because there's a table, and we're like, yeah, boy, I hope Rich has blown this thing off. Here comes Rich with like 2 bodyguards. Rich
no
Little.
Way.
Yeah, walks up with 2 bodyguards. Like, what the hell's going on here? Is anybody promoting this? Like, well, we were, but it's not really our thing. We didn't book this thing, Rich. We're just supposed to be out here, you know, broadcasting. Oh. And he was so pissy. He was shitty to the people in line, the autographs. He was a complete ass, and he bitched at us the entire time. He left after like 15 minutes.
Oh, I hate that.
I know. It was so painful. It's 10 times as awkward as I'm describing.
God. I mean, you have those celebrity moments. You always hope that, like, when you meet them, that they're normal people, you know?
Well, I didn't expect much
especially
of them to start
Rich
with.
Especially Rich Little, you know? Yeah. It's not like it's, like, some A-lister, you know?
I know. Well, he was done then, but it's just one of those things, like, I knew it was going to be a disaster, and then to see 8 people, and then he's an asshole on top of it. It was just everything. It was the perfect storm of shit. It was brutal.
Jesus.
So, Hank, what's going on? What's your next story about? You got anything coming up you want to mention?
We're doing a big tax scam day tomorrow. So we're going to open up those phone banks and let people call. I mean, there's a million tax scams going on. So we're going to have experts in tomorrow from 4 to 6:30. So a little free tax advice if you need it. Just give us a call tomorrow on Look 4.
I can't figure out how those things still work.
The scams?
Yeah, the... You got to pay us $8,000 in the next hour or you're arrested.
On prepaid cards.
Old people. It's old people. I mean, they just get them. You know, they scare the hell out of them.
And they do. They cough up the money. I mean, apparently enough people do it. That's a real successful scam, I guess.
Huge. I mean, it's sad. It's unbelievable. Oh, you're watching that thing with Mark, you are.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you do this every day?
No, they just, that's our executive producer of Special Projects, Ro Coppola, that he's watching a video on Facebook on the Channel 4 page. So they had Kimberly Gill did an interview today with the judge from last week who threw the woman in jail for laughing in the courtroom.
That was a great story.
Yeah, and the judge had her just life story is really interesting, like Southwest Detroit, but got an academic scholarship to Roper in Birmingham, then another academic scholarship to Notre Dame. Yeah, came back to Detroit, appointed by Snyder, of all people. I mean, she's an African-American Democrat, and it's a pretty cool story. That thing got 23 million views.
That's the original one where she throws her in conditions.
Really? Yeah. 23 million?
23 million views.
Because I thought the follow-up was just as interesting when she had her back in court, the mother.
And let her out after a day.
And let her out.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of explained to her the whole issue. And the mother was remorseful.
I thought she still did not get the point, though, because
she
says, you know, my daughter's going to prison, and the thing is, killed 2 people.
Yeah, but she felt for the family.
Well, she was laughing I don't know. I'm sure she feels
like
shit.
Yeah, you're probably right. You don't learn a lesson like that in 24 hours.
I don't know how bad she felt about what she was wearing, but I would have felt bad about that.
That's outfit. Why she should have been thrown in jail.
Yeah, give her 180 days.
A crime of fashion. But, I mean, it's amazing that situations like that don't play out more because it's so – when you're in that courtroom and you've got somebody reading a victim impact statement and they're sitting right next to the victim's –
I know.
It's incredible that more chaos like that doesn't break out. You know? So kudos to the guards and the judge.
It does happen once in a while. Again. I'm trying to think. There was a fight outside the courtroom a couple years ago. But you're right. It could happen all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's
or between the families.
That's what I'm saying.
The
families
for sure.
Well, that's where Hey Fatso came from years ago.
Oh, that drop. Yeah,
like
we
20 years ago.
Yeah, that was a fist fight. I can't remember what case that was, but yeah, it was funny.
The family's got in a fight, and some guy just goes, "Hey Fatso." We laugh because who calls anybody Fatso anymore?
Yeah, it was really a very favorite drop.
Fatso.
It had a lot going on in the background too. It was hard to hear, but we still loved the drop
Fatso,
and played it religiously.
That was local?
Local.
I'm going to be in the archives tomorrow just typing in Fatso.
It was two families after. It's probably 98, I think.
It was the 90s, late 90s. So you're doing the tax thing tomorrow, and then I saw the Deshaun story. last night?
Yeah.
It was a nice story.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, those are the best. He was a kid whose family's van got stolen. He had a special needs bike.
$5,000, by the way.
Why, leave the bike for the kid. I know. Come on, what are they going to do with it? They ripped it up for parts, probably. But
I kind of felt like I want to go into the bike building business and do it for $4,000. I mean, $5,000? Yeah, $5,000, really? Yeah. But that's what it costs.
You're all about undercutting people.
I know.
God, I need to make a buck.
I'm stunned at the money people charge for some of this stuff, but it's, you know, I'm sure
that's
a special
the insurance companies.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. They're the ones screwing with everybody. But yeah, I mean, to be able to do that and to do stories like that, the fact that Channel 4 supports it, it's great.
Beaumont
came up with the money. We called them; they didn't even flinch. They're like, "Yeah, tell us what to do." So they were great.
You know, when you guys do that, it seems like you get great response. People always come up, you know. Like Beaumont stepped up, and you've done that a lot of times, and I've seen it other places too. But when someone says, you know, these guys are really having a hard time, can anybody help this guy out? It seems like it's always a little more of an effort to get people to call in, but do you approach those people, or do they, because it seems like there's a lot of success with that.
Yeah, I mean, typically, yeah, obviously they're getting something out of it too. I mean, Beaumont got put on the 11 o'clock news last night in the number one newscast in Detroit. So yeah, they got a little
pat on the back. Do
you like that at the end? Yeah. I will say, you know, Detroit is great for stuff like that. It, no matter what, you know, the hospital or the agency, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're usually, if it's something where they feel like they can help somebody, they're willing to do it. You know, like with the boy who needed the eye, that was Sparky Anderson's foundation. I don't even know if people realize that Sparky's foundation is still so active in Detroit. But
yeah, they don't have the outings anymore, but they raise so much money with that
thing. So much money. And I mean, this kid had to go to like 20 different doctor appointments just to get to the point of the eye being made. So imagine what that would cost a normal family. They paid for everything. So it was great.
Are you a baseball fan too?
Little bit. We actually were just down at my husband's a huge Tiger fan. So Bernie was at spring training and he knew I was in Florida. So he said, you and Jeff need to come over to Lakeland because there's a Tiger cookout one night, a player cookout. So Jeff literally lost his mind. He had his daughter with us and he's like, okay, Mia, here's the deal. You're wearing the jersey.
Yeah.
we're shopping you around to everybody to get signatures. He's really into the
saw the picture with him or in Brad.
Brad Ausmus, yeah. But his favorite dude right now is not even a player, he's a coach. And I'm gonna sound clueless because I am, but he used to play for Cleveland.
Oh, the shortstop.
Oh,
first base coach.
Omar
Vizquel. Yeah.
So he
great
was
player.
Real excited to meet Omar, and all those guys were really great. They were really nice. So yeah, we went down to we've been to Lakeland a few times.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, this was great because it was just like a small crowd of people. There weren't a lot of people there, you know, the Bernie hookup. But we went last year to a game down there. They played Baltimore, I think.
I love spring training games.
It's cool. It's a cool setup they have down there. And
when I lived in Arizona, you could go to the Oakland A's in Scottsdale, the Giants in Scottsdale, the Cubs are in Mesa. The Indians are somewhere nearby. Chandler has the Brewers. I mean, there's a different ballpark. You go every day for a week. And, you know, 2,000, 3,000 people there.
Yeah. I mean, the crowds at last year at Lakeland were huge. You know, I mean, Tiger fans are just, they're dedicated, man. They're into it. So, yeah, we'll be at a lot of those games this year for sure.
Hank, thank you, buddy. Thanks for coming in. I hope we didn't kill you. We went down that road, and I'm like, as I told Mark, God, should I not go down that road? Mark said, Hank's cool, man. And,
are we talking about the gay road?
Oh, no, the Stafford road.
No, you kept your Stafford stuff to a minimum, which is good.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean to turn it into a 20-minute conversation, but it just seemed like it sort of went that way. I mean, I bet you people listening are going to say, God, it was really interesting. So if that's any consolation.
The gay guy in the closet.
I know this audience.
Is he talking about me?
No, the gay guy that makes it look easy.
No, I mean, listen, it is what it is. And it's, you know, you're a friend of mine. So it's not like you're saying anything malicious or mean-spirited. You're just asking questions out of curiosity. So,
well, I think it helps people understand. Yeah. A lot of things.
I can't wait now till I'm at 7-Eleven and somebody's going to be like, hey, I have a gay question.
Gay question.
Yeah, that's your next job at Channel 4. Gay reporter on all subjects gay.
Okay, now we've gone too
far. I don't have
the
alliteration for that.
All right.
Do they do that in San Francisco? Has anyone ever done that?
Oh, my God, come on. Well, I'm sure, actually, I'm probably. And during a point in San Francisco, I'm sure somebody had to cover all of that stuff.
Well, like, yeah, a lot of stories, but it would be so cliche to have the gay guy
the
do
beat.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Here's that drop.
Oh, you found it.
Yeah, we need a cleaner copy, but yeah.
Of Hey Fatso.
That's how much we like the drop, though. It's too noisy, and we still played it.
It's two families in court.
I know. Yeah, and it was a murder case too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Fatso, that's the part that's
terrifies
you the most.
I know. When's the last time heard anyone say Fatso? But the guy was an older guy, so, and it was 1998.
Was he fat?
He was fat.
The other guy was pretty huge.
Good. He better be. Jesus.
Hey, Jay, I missed the Zot read. That's the only thing I. Thank you. Okay. Is this the? Oh, I need the other one. Actually, the Waterford.
We're having a show meeting in the air.
It's pretty informal.
We always have show meetings.
Yeah, I like it. It's good.
That's how we pay the bills. Okay, if you're looking for the best deal on your new ride, check out our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. DealsInTheD.com is where you'll find thousands of vehicles listed with the very best prices in the D. And during Truck Month, lease a new Ram 1500 Crew Cab 4x4, $169 a month. And trucks aren't your thing. You can lease a loaded Jeep Compass for $109 a month, lower than your cell phone bill. Your cell phone bill is over $109, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. I don't know anyone with a cell phone bill lower. Oh, it is lower than $109?
No.
Oh, okay.
I wish it's like $200. Should I switch to Sprint or something? Isn't
that
what everybody's doing?
No.
Your cell phone blows.
We have a lot of bad stories about cell phone companies down here, unfortunately. Yeah. I don't know. Mine was $171 last month. And that was low. That was low for me.
Really?
What's yours?
For three phones, it's about $125.
Wait, three phones?
Three phones?
Your wife, and then your back
phone? A home phone.
Oh.
Yeah. My burner?
Thought it was your secret phone.
No, yeah, we got Charlotte one. She's three. I thought it was about time for her to have a smartphone.
$125 a piece?
No, total.
For three phones?
Mm-hmm. Who are you with?
I got
AT&T.
What your plan is.
Now
I'm with AT&T. I know, I got a stupid plan. Hey, when you're ready for your new ride, check out our friends at DealsInTheD.com. They're our studio sponsor, too. Get there! And that'll do it. We'll be back tomorrow with Trudy and Hank. Can't thank you enough, buddy.
Hey, guys, I loved it.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Yeah, absolutely, anytime. You're my neighbor.
Damn right.
Down the road.
Yeah, what are you, 2 miles away from here about? Did you move?
No, I'm...
So you're that way, okay.
That way, yeah.
Yeah. What's the exact address?
Why don't you live in Ferndale?
That's good.
Oh, Jesus. People probably assume that.
Yeah, right. You must live in Ferndale, right?
Hank must be so comfortable with the podcast.
God, get me out of here.
I apologize in advance. Thank you, Hank. Seriously.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. All right.
See you.
Winchester Cathedral, you're bringing me down. You stood and you watched as my baby left town. You could have done something, but you didn't try. Your past.